If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz. Feels like the day after Christmas. This is kind of sad, right? The Black Fake History Month intro is gone. The month itself is gone.
It's
just back to normal.
No, it's March.
You take down all the decorations. House is sad and boring again.
I haven't even really thought about it.
Are you sharing a screen with me?
No, I don't believe I am, sir. I'll get there.
Because for me, Christmas just began. Alex, it feels like Christmas just began.
I have a big present this morning.
We have a big present today, yeah. On top of the present we got last show.
Oh, yeah.
Even bigger present.
What's happening here?
Wait, you mean why is the music playing?
Well, no, the music playing. No, because it's sharing the wrong. I'm trying to share the screen to Alex.
Why is the music still blasting?
You should have said, as I started to make, hey, wait a second. You didn't share the screen with me. So now
forgot the bit. It's going to do it again.
Yeah. Completely distracted.
That's okay. I'll just carry this for a bit. Yeah, it does feel like...
Don't worry, it's working. But yeah, it's over.
Wow, it's working.
It does feel like Christmas Day, Christmas morning, for me, actually.
Mm.
Well, I mean, it's like a vicarious Christmas. I think it's more like Christmas for Alex, but... We got a nice present in the mail.
Yeah. I think it's a Christmas for everybody because this has long-reaching repercussions.
Oh yes, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Are we doing? I thought we were going to save this for Monday for the.
We're not doing anything. We're just talking about how happy we are.
All right.
We can tell people what we're talking about and tease the show.
Yeah, let's tease it. Tell all your friends to listen to the free. Actually, or tell them to sign up right now. Alex got a. We've got a little doc drop. No, is that what's going on here?
There's some documents in our
possession. Some
documents.
We have the documents. We're gonna post them.
We
got them on the right stuff.
Look, people. I've got actually the documents. Literally, they said this. Their own documents. Literally, they said this.
I had to put the microphone to the table to pound on it so you could pick it up.
I got binders full of Harambes.
Yeah. You say that?
Yes.
So,
did you email that?
So I think that can I tease like
the yes, coo- well, we
can I
tease bit.
The coup de grace?
Coup de grace.
How do you say that? Coup de grace? Coup de grace?
Something like that.
Coup de grace.
Coup de
grace.
You just don't say that because it's like a stupid. It's like
coup de grace.
Just like the final thing.
Yeah. Well, we have Matthias. Letting the mask drop because he thinks he's in private, showing his true activist colors, not acting as a journalist at all. He's not asking for comments.
No,
he's not looking for clarification. He is
asking for comment,
but he's blatantly pushing.
Yes, but in asking for comment, he is. It's like it's actually quite interesting to examine the language used.
Mm.
And we'll go over this email probably on Monday.
I think we'll do it on Monday. Everybody can. Not just everybody
should, we can talk about it on two shows. That's fine. I feel like if you're paying money to hear us, maybe you'd get a little scoop.
All right. I mean, if you have something in mind that you want to read.
I don't think we should do the whole thing. I think this should be revealed, on Monday. Maybe let Matthias squirm over the weekend.
Yeah, I like the idea of letting everybody know this as much as I also like the idea of keeping good stuff behind the paywall. I like the idea of letting people know this.
Let's at least talk about the general fact here, which is that when the state concludes an investigation, well, you can just file a FOIA request and find out what the hell they were investigating and what the complaints were. And this one was enlightening.
And they'll just tell you. They'll just hand it all over.
They'll just give you the information.
Does give
they have
like,
a fucking
they just,
file
they just
there.
Give it to you. It's all like they it. Just give it to you. Everything. You got phone numbers. You got addresses, names, dates.
And they may give you, and they'll give you the kinds of things that if you're a CNN or a HuffPo, you would probably just sit on and not really report on. But they gave it to us.
Well, they gave it to Alex.
Well,
and that's.
I think other requests have been filed from other individuals as well, and I assume that they will cooperate. And this may become common knowledge. How does Matthias not know how this works?
Well, because he expected to win. He expected just to go the way that it's supposed to go.
Yeah,
he was doing. He's basically he's like a low. he's like a low-level Tim Wise, where he doesn't actually like think you should just be like taken outside and shot or something, but he does think that like whatever, you know, a little more minimal punishment should just happen to you just because of who you are and what you think.
He also, he probably on some level is genuinely surprised.
Yes,
that your record is so clean. Because I was just reading this thing here. You know, now this is, I'll just read this.
Do you think his like shitty little eyes like popped out of those deep dead sockets for a second and you can actually see that he had eyes? Like,
oh, yeah. So I'm just going to read a little bit from this report here. This is not anything to do with anybody else. This is from the state itself. Hmm. During the course of the investigation, many people were interviewed, including Alex McNabb, his employer, co-workers, medical director, county emergency service coordinator, and county sheriff. Additionally, there was an audit of every pre-hospital patient care report that was initiated and or completed by Alex McNabb over the past year. When speaking with McNabb, he adamantly denied ever discriminating in his patient care. 39 patient care reports of Alex McNabb were reviewed. None of the patient court None of the PCRs showed any indication of discrimination or inappropriate patient care. Specifically, this audit identified minority patients and non-minority patients with similar or same chief complaints. Care rendered by Alex McNabb of all these patients was compared to identify any differences in treatment and or transport decisions to which no differences were identified. And care delivered to all patients was consistent between the groups. So this goes on in the same vein for a little bit. Basically, they also looked at the emergency room. They talked to other people that you work with.
This is going to be caused. So this means
this,
that, like,
I think, one second. This, I think, is something that somebody like Matthias. Now, Matthias is ideological. Okay.
Yes.
Matthias is not doing this because he's getting paid a lot. I mean, he kept his job as because he's a white male.
He kept his job.
He kept his job, right? Now, Stryker had a fascinating idea about why it is that the men keep their jobs and not the women in this, particularly relating to people that report on us, which is that they don't trust women to report on us.
All right.
No, think about it, though.
I
right?
see what you're putting
you
down.
See, you see, no, I mean, it's
I,
like,
I see my own image on the screen. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. No, it's true. It's definitely true. And I mean, people have some insight into this that they stopped trusting Elle Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
there was that video of her. The famous video of her and Spencer with those wistful looks on her face as he's talking. And now those were memed. And she probably didn't really feel that way. Because I'll tell you what, every dude I knew that talked to Elle Reeve thought she wanted to fuck them. And I was like, guys, she's doing that.
She's probably doing that on purpose.
She's definitely doing that.
She might actually want it, though.
I mean, she might. Look, it could be a number of things. So the thing is, she's definitely giving you that impression to try and get something from you. She wasn't good looking enough to pull it off, because I was always like,
the intimate
first
horror.
Of all, like, you're not that good looking. Second of all, I can see what I look like. Let's be honest. Like, I'm not stupid. All right. Like, but, you know, like, that's the thing. I'd rather you think I was ugly than stupid. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's the thought. So that's why the white men keep the jobs, because women can't be trusted around guys that actually have a testosterone count above, like, you know. Bare minimum. But Matthias thinks, because he's ideological, he's not making a lot of money, and he's certainly not getting a lot of social prestige as a HuffPost blogger. I mean, that's like, you know, come on now.
That's like playing like bass.
I mean, he did put out a blog post the other day.
He's like the bass player in a female-fronted band.
Yes,
you're just
yes,
like
exactly.
You're just like behind this, no one cares who you are. You're putting in work, I guess. You're laying it down. You think like, but nobody fucking notices.
If bass player in a band with a chick singer, yeah, Jesus.
You're just like, wow. You're back there. Like, if you were swapped out for somebody else, nobody
literally
would fucking
nobody
notice.
Would have any
nobody
idea.
Would give a shit.
And you get any pussy out of that. You don't get any.
They could put your picture in the next album after you've been replaced, and like the guy that replaced, he wouldn't be upset because it's like, I don't. I'm just this guy
matter.
That doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. None of it matters. Yeah. It's just a job. Just clocking work.
Yeah.
But Matthias is ideological, so he sees something like...
He believes in good bass
he
playing.
He believed that you did... He probably believed you were doing bad things to black people.
But I'm a professional.
I know you're a professional. I never would have seen this thing. The other thing, they didn't...
See...
It also shows you how little these people understand us.
This is what I'm trying to get in, like...
Yeah.
I doubt he actually believes that. I think he just honestly believes that Alex should not be allowed to work because of the thoughts... It's in his head! It's what's in your head! Right, like Locke Boyce was like the rare source. All right, of honesty.
So we're probably gonna have to go into it then.
So because I think that I worry about the Virginia Department of Health now. Because like obviously like if the outcome is you looked at the employment record, you're not supposed to look at a racist employment record and find that he did a good job. You're supposed to toss that aside and be like, We can't have a person who thinks like this be around here. Like, you were supposed, they were supposed to look for any other pretense to remove Alex from, you know, to remove his license. Not just like actually take an objective look at his record. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm sure that's what Chris Mathias is saying here, now.
He does say here McNabb's level of bigotry should raise serious questions.
See, that's all it is.
About McNabb's ability to treat minority patients.
His whole fucking job is treating minority patients.
Yeah. Huh, this is funny. Does the Virginia Department of Health have any guidelines regarding EMTs being open racists?
See, that's what I'm saying. He knows he's not probably doing his job just fine, but it's just like, you cannot allow these people. We cannot breed the same error as these bigots.
Well, what he wants is that
that's like a
that
subtle nudge. Like, hey,
subtle, like, you should have these. You need to have these.
You need to have, like, these guidelines. You need to update your community guidelines now, so you can remove comments.
Here's a prediction.
Yeah.
If you allow me to predict this.
Okay.
This loss that they're taking is going to, they're going to escalate.
Yeah, be
because
so
why else would Mathias make the blog post he made yesterday?
Hmm.
Why would he make the blog post? They're not going to escalate against Alex because they're going to escalate against the Virginia Department of Health.
Right.
That would be my prediction. They're going to want new
they're
going to
push for new regulations. They're going to use you and I know, dude. You should read this whole email.
He's quoting the Black Alert drop and news for you about niggas.
Dude.
Star Trek STD.
I just
racist.
Like Star Trek STD.
Star Trek STD.
Is that a joke we did? I don't even remember that.
I don't know. This is so good. I can't even find it. Where even is the news for you about niggas drop? I don't know.
Just call them niggas.
I have that one.
Jeez.
That's just so good.
But, all right, so. I think what they're going to do is they're going to push the Department of Health to try and put new regulations in. But, of course, putting new regulations in is a very arduous bureaucratic process.
That's going to take a while.
Mm. And wouldn't you be grandfathered in under your bigotry?
That would be my other question.
You have a pre-existing
precedent here.
You have a pre-existing bigotry. The new system apply to you. Because we're not supposed to remove people with pre-existing
bigotry. That's good.
Would that be the name of the show? Put that up.
I think that's like, that's pre-existing bigotry. But I think that you wouldn't be, actually, sorry to say, like, if they passed new regulations, they would apply to you. It's just they wouldn't have, like, when the regulations weren't in effect, it wouldn't have been a problem. But I don't think that they're going to be able to, I mean, look, to get a... The problem is that there's a First Amendment issue. So if they tried to do something like this, I don't think the state of Virginia wants to do this because one, the governor of Virginia. I mean, like,
I forgot about that guy.
Does that mean we have to fire Coon Man?
Like, let's what are they going to do? No, I mean, this is the thing. It's sort of like.
How does Coon Man go to the Department of Health and be like, listen,
like,
you got to shut down this big...
Here something. Like,
I understand I have a pre-existing bigotry too, but this one...
The problem is, like, see, there's... Everybody kind of gets, like... You would say, like, oh, there's somebody that did said something wrong on Twitter, like, one time, and somebody had an ill-advised Halloween costume one time. But then there's, like, Alex, who's openly on this podcast that does, like, all this really edgy stuff... And it's like, now we all, like, you can discern a difference there, but how do you put that into a law that can be, that's supposed to be applied? Like, how can you, that sort of fine line, that thing that is easy for people to get, but is not so easy to express where the line is. Like, there's so many lines where, you know, this is too far and this isn't, but I can't exactly explain why, you know, like, that happens a lot. And to codify that, they can't do it. Also, it's like, why would a state ever want to say, like, you can't be a state employee or a state-licensed employee if you have certain views? It's like, there's a First Amendment issue that's immediately going to be raised. So I think they're going to try
hard, because it would have to do with the certifications and the licenses. Like, you can't have this license if you have these pre-existing racisms.
Well, I think they would argue it would be, let me be the big brain that I think kind of understands how it would be based on conduct, right?
Mm.
So it would say, like, it wouldn't be like what you think or even like maybe what you've posted a couple times on Twitter or Facebook. It would be like they say something like a consistent pattern of conduct. Of course, you don't really have a conduct other than free speech.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you're not even a member of an organization. Like, you're not part of any white nationalist group or anything like that. So it's literally just like you make jokes on the internet And
I don't know. Locke Boyce seems to believe I'm a member of many, many organizations like the American Nazi Party, all this stuff.
Has he said that?
He's been saying that. He had a little.
Do you have that documented?
He's got his video up from last night.
Where the live stream.
Get a copy of it.
Yeah.
Download that right now.
Get a copy of all of it.
Actual slander, by the way.
Like, yeah, no,
straight
look,
up slander.
Oh,
he's
sue him.
Telling. No, great. Look, hey, look, let's send him. What we'll do. Let's not talk about the legal strategy on the show, but we're going to. There's a legal strategy to deal with what he's doing, and we're going to engage it. We can talk about it over the break. I have an idea of what I want to do. But yeah. let's document all this stuff. Any listeners, this is paywall, so this is our top level people.
Top level.
If you see any Locke Boyce statements slandering McNabb's, document them and send them to us.
Also, since this is our top, our top tier of listeners, be sure to put in on Twitter on Mike's mentions how this is a bad idea and won't work. Be sure to.
None of this is going to ever work.
Yeah, please
tell me that.
We should just stop and be happy that we're still breathing.
Yes, I mean, look, and I understand people that have that view. I understand it, but you do what you like to do. I do what I like to do.
Maybe you do it not in my mentions. Maybe you just do it in private. Along with a gun in your mouth.
We do not encourage self harm here. That was purely sarcastic.
I mean, you take a water gun. You put like grape jelly in it. It's delicious. Yeah. You put it in your mouth.
But no,
it's a good snack.
Look, there's people out there that look. The thing what I do want to say is that we have had a lot of successes at TRS relating to matters of procedure.
Should I start the live read?
You want to do the live read? You have a live read?
No, remember?
No.
When I did the live read?
No.
And then
the live read happened. Oh yes, that the live read. Yeah. Well, we've had a lot. That wasn't totally by the book either. That win was not entirely by the book. But I'll say this: that
I didn't go out and not go for the fucking
for the throat. That was the thing. You went for the metaphorical jugular. Metaphorical jugular, not the real one. There's no real jugulars that we're going for. This is metaphorically speaking. Remember,
this live read has become woven into the tapestry of my creativity.
Even though
I can't just delete it.
You know, I know that there's a lot of. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people are hesitant to make jokes because you're afraid that a sociopathic attorney will present a joke to a judge as if it was serious, and the judge will be senile and won't understand the context or the humor involved. But going for the jugular is a well-known idiom in the English language that means being ruthless.
Yes.
It does not mean any actual literal jugulars were gone for.
No.
Even though I'm sure that Roberta Kaplan and company would love to take such a quote and say, well, there's zero jugulars. Now,
Locke you understand Boyce, that, Dopey Matthias? You understand that?
Yeah. Now Locke Boyce Bias. Did say Matthias. That he... Now, I want. I think Matthias... I think Dopey Matthias... Dopey Matthias. He needs to look into Locke Boyce. Because Locke Boyce claimed he killed people with his bare hands. I'm still stuck on that.
Africa. That means Africans,
no,
right?
He didn't say Africa or not. He didn't specify.
He was talking about Africa a lot, so I can only assume that he was killing Africans.
I'm guessing he was killing Africans? I mean, look, I'm sure he killed more black people than Alex did. Which is, one would do it, but I'm sure he's probably abused and mistreated more black people than Alex has.
Absolutely.
I've got a squeaky clean record. I mean, I've had all my PCRs compared. I'm like a model.
Alex has no problems with his TPS reports. He has the new cover sheets and everything.
Locke Boyce's reports.
I even
on
have
the other
my
hand,
stapler.
That's a little. Locke Boyce's reports are a little bit. I have seen a video where Locke Boyce is torturing an animal. Have you seen that snake video he has? He's torturing that poor creature.
Jesus
Have you
Christ.
Seen that one?
No, I don't think I've seen the snake.
He
torture.
Takes a rattlesnake out of a. He's got like a little cooler, like one of those, like a little cooler, and the inside is a rattlesnake. And he's doing a little like nature show. Should actually get the video. I'll see if I can find it. It's like really bad. He takes the snake out, and he's like, a lot of people are scared of these things. First of all, he's giving people terrible advice. It's like, dude, that's a dangerous poison.
Don't be scared of this rattlesnake.
That's a dangerous poisonous snake. Like people are scared of it as like an evolutionary adaptation to avoid such creatures. But he's like poking at it with a stick. He's like kicking at it with his feet to like scare it away. And it's like jumping around.
That snake has a sense of who he was.
That snake knew who he was, Locke. And he's like saying like, look, I'm a big hot-blooded creature. It can sense the heat from my body. It's afraid of me. Watch it cower. And he's like,
that's why
it bites. I'm like, guy,
That's why it bites.
If you scare it enough, it's going to fucking bite you.
Exactly. That's kind of the whole thing.
And then he takes the stick and he pins its head down and then he picks it up by the head. So he's got just the head like sticking out from his hand. And he peels back its fangs. And he starts like squeezing its venom gland so the venom's dripping. Yeah. I'm like, will you leave that animal alone? I'm like, you're torturing that poor thing. That thing is who a rattlesnake. It is who it is. It has the poison, it has the rattle, it has all these things. These are its natural adaptations. You are just torturing it.
Hey, I got the floor, buddy.
Yeah, for like no reason. What's the education? Like, what you should be saying is, hey, people, if you see a snake like this, you know, stand still until it goes away.
Yeah, like, don't mess with it.
Don't just, fuck around with it.
You know.
Walk away slowly. See if you can get out of there. Whatever the advice is.
Yeah.
Typically, I was always taught just to be still and quiet until it goes away, because it will usually go away. Because it doesn't, he's worried about one thing, which is typically the snake doesn't really want much to do with you because you're kind of big. But like, you know, little kids, you don't want to show little kids something like that because it's like.
Yeah, grab it by the head and squeeze the shit out of its fucking teeth.
Start fucking with it, kick it and punch it. Grab it and squeeze it.
It's scared of you. Don't be a pussy. Just pin it down with a stick and grab it.
Yeah, there you go. Do all that.
That rattling sound means it's excited. What you want to do is calm it down by squeezing its head. That'll wear it out so it'll stop rattling.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Squeeze his head. That's enough about
wannabe Steve Irwin.
Yeah, let's move on to. Yeah. We should leave the rest of this for Monday. So we should leave this for Monday. So let's move on.
They didn't anticipate that something like this was going to happen.
So I think a lot of people that left complaints.
Here's a little tip. I got a little tip for you guys. When you leave an anonymous complaint, don't put your name and address.
Wait, no. Why are you giving them advice?
Don't do that.
Don't tell them that.
I gotta go back and delete video.
No, we don't have to delete video. But
just don't say that on Monday.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Yeah, like,
it's totally safe to leave your actual identity.
Let me just tell you this, people. Like, any complaint you make, ultimately, we can get our hands on. If you make a complaint to somebody's employer, we can get that information. If you call someone's job. If you find out someone's an evil Nazi, evil racist Nazi.
Like George Soros.
We went over this actually on the Strike and Mike from last week, where we had Blackstone on from the Civil Legal Defense Network to talk about doxing and getting fired and things like that. If you find out somebody left a bad tweet that you don't like and they get doxed by Antifa and you call their employer... Committing a tort. And through the legal process, your identity can be discovered. So just don't think that you can, with impunity, just do this stuff.
Mm.
Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know ahead of time so that you're forewarned. Forewarned is forearmed.
You know what bugs me a lot?
Yeah.
Is that you say you can do things with impunity, but you can also be impugned? Fucking annoys the piss out of me.
I think there's a few different.
I know it's different. It just makes me not want to use any of those words ever.
Yeah. Well, I just don't. You know what? My compromise.
That's really wild, man. You ever tried DMT?
Is your compromise like using them correctly at all times?
No, my compromise. I don't use the word impugned.
Yeah, I try not to do that too.
I use the word impunity because it's too common, but impugned, that's not really in my
on our topic here.
I'm usually one of those times you hear me like stumble is because I'm about to say impugned and I don't want to. So I look for another
word. I can't
help
but wonder about something. If you make a bunch of false complaints and you get an EMS service to suspend their employee for 3 months right in the middle of an EMT shortage and there are delays in responding to calls, seems like you kind of precipitated a public health crisis of sorts.
Oh, sorry. I found the Lost Boys rattlesnake video. That's all. Do you want to put it up?
No, I told you we got to move on. This is the Monday stuff.
Yeah, but this is just Lock Boys fucking around the snake.
I know, but
why do we not need to say this doesn't have anything to do with
you just described in like excruciating detail the contents of the video, and now you want to play the contents of the video you already described
because Lock Boys is
the audience
clown.
That mostly listens to us and doesn't watch.
Well, you can hear his voice.
Your theater of the mind has like. It's a 9-minute video.
Well, we don't have to watch the whole thing.
You described in 3 minutes what takes him 9.
All right, well, let's have a vote. Alex, what do you want to do?
I hate democracy.
Let's move on to the next topic. We can discuss the...
Yeah. I love democracy now.
I'm more tired of Lock Boys than anybody else now.
But it's a funny video.
Did you say that?
God, you guys suck.
So do you want to talk on...
You haven't even seen it.
Do you want to talk to Bo or Ben? Which buddy do you want to deal with now? You want to deal with Bo or do you want to deal with Ben?
What?
Which buddy do you want to deal with on the show next? Bo or Ben?
Bo or Ben?
Bo or Ben?
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know either.
You want to talk to Bo?
Oh!
Or do you want to talk to Ben?
Let's talk to Bo.
Let's
talk to Bo.
Let's talk to Bo.
One quick thing before we go. While we're talking about
I want to watch
Dopey Mathias here. He went to CPAC yesterday.
Yes.
We're going to roast CPAC.
Maybe we're going to do CPAC. Should we do the CPAC?
He got fucking wrecked.
Who did he get wrecked by?
The guy that told him he hoped he would lose his job in the next round of cuts.
Yeah, he did. But I saw that tweet. So Mathias goes there.
He tweets someone called me a Judeo-communist. Or was that Holt? One of them.
No, that was Holt.
Somebody called him a Judeo-communist.
Someone called Jared Holt a Judeo-communist. He tweeted about it, cried about it, and then he eventually deleted the tweet, I believe, because it probably just did not go well for him.
No, because it's like, CPAC.
I'm shocked that somebody inside of CPAC said that. Like, what?
I'm not that surprised. I mean, look.
Doesn't CPAC police that sort of
the official conservative movement? Is like the fakest and gayest thing, specifically because it is overseeing this population with these kinds of feels. Like if you don't heavily police this population of people and make sure their ideological views are always going in this one certain direction, pretty soon you're going to have them finding reporters on the street and yelling at them that they're Judeo-communists.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like this is why
I just was under the impression they were good at policing this because they wasn't allowed. Like Fuentes was disallowed. He's hanging out outside. Apparently,
yeah, he was hanging out.
Why would you let Christopher Mathias go into your fucking meeting?
Because Mathias has the same interest as Conservative Inc.
Yeah.
Keep making sure the anti-Semites are exposed and removed. That's how you know Charlie Kirk is a fucking fraud because he probably wants you to not be an EMT either, Alex.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk would throw you under the bus faster than like a leftist would.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. So Mathias, Holt, Chapo Trap House, and God knows who else, Will Sommer. Will Sommer was the guy that takes a picture outside of Fuentes in an attempt to humiliate him.
Oh, my sweet summer chill.
Saying like... My sweet summer shill. Is that
what I said.
Shill summer. It's a shill.
Shill summer. I already did cruel summer.
Yeah, I know.
Chill summer.
But,
remove from YouTube immediately.
Jew subreddit. I remember when you were doing the Jew subreddit. Yeah, that was... you worked hard on that one. But
actually, that's the only one you were actually in the room when I was working on it.
That's true. It felt like you worked hard because I was watching it. Yeah. But, what was I saying?
I don't remember.
Oh, so Shill Summer, he takes his picture of Fuentes outside. You know, and of course, he probably took a number of them, and he picked the one where Nick is in, like, kind of a, he's like, not things like awkward, but he just doesn't
like one of those mid-stride
he's
pictures?
He's kind of just, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's you know, and then he's like, oh, here's Fuentes. And it's like, okay, so what else did Will Summer say about CPAC? He really didn't say much. So why are these guys there? And this is the thing with Conservative Inc. They're so stupid. Conservative Inc. was there.
It's a plan.
Okay. Well, I actually think that Conservative Inc. is retarded.
All right.
I think the goys are. The Jews know what they're doing.
Oh, all right. Well, I just assume that they're all the Jews. Like anybody who's in that, it's a goy. Like, CPAC, I don't think they're in on it.
If you remember CPAC from last year, that's where we got the European style socialists.
Yes.
From the Wayne LaPierre speech. Now, CPAC last year. Now, CPAC 2017 and CPAC 2018 were very different than CPAC 2019. You know, they actually did like 2017, they did like a MAGA. Sort of. Not totally, but more so.
This year is more of like Uga MAGA.
They're going back to, they're trying desperately, clawing their way back to boomer Reagan style conservatism.
Like, black alert.
Well, they had those two. They had those two there, but I want to talk about the.
It was Candace, and then Diamonds and Silk, and did they have the what are those? The Hodges
right,
twins.
You're never gonna ever let me
they
make
did?
The point.
No,
I
go ahead. Didn't they do that?
Like, you're never gonna let me finish.
I thought the point was you were making.
Well, no, the point I was making is they're letting these left wing guys in,
mm-hmm.
and the only reason that those left wing guys want to go is to peruse the crowd. And find people that are there that they can say, here's a Nazi at CPAC.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as Chapo Trap House, I think Chapo Trap House was there to try and do an ambush interview of Ross Douthat. Right? They want to finally tell him how bad his columns are.
Those guys think like they think he's like the mastermind of all of the right.
He's like the one Gentile. Awesome. I love it. It's like the one Gentile at the New York Times, and that's the one. Not that I love Duhat, but like, first of all, Duhat says things that are occasionally aren't completely 99% terrible. He'll say things that are occasionally only like 80% terrible, right? And that's because he's the only white guy there. So of course, the only white guy there. And the reason that they don't like him is because maybe we should have a little bit of nuance here when everyone else is completely ideological. That's why they don't like him. But it's so funny. So Chapo Trap House is like the one white guy who's like the token on their editorial staff, and it's like he's the one they're always picking on. Whatever. Anyway, I mean, he is a douche hat, but that's
douche hat mished.
So Will Sommer and Matthias and Holt and all them, they're milling around at CPAC. They're having a gay old time. Why are they letting them in? They're letting them in because one, the Jews at the top want their intelligence agents in there to go and look and see who the Nazis are so that more names can be added to the do not let in list, like Nick Fuentes and I think other people.
It's amazing.
Other people that don't really matter also weren't allowed in. But, they want to do that. I mean, most people were just like, yeah, why even bother with CPAC anymore, right?
Oh, it's dead.
It's like the most dead thing. I mean, I would actually like the idea of these guys wasting their time milling around there.
They had Diamond and Silk, right? I mean,
they had Diamond and Silk. You can't get over. You can't just go in order.
All right, what's in order? What do you want to do in order?
Well,
I'm not in on what the order
I'm just
is.
Saying, no, the order is like they're stupid because they're letting they are basically setting they're having this conference, and it's like in some kind of spirit of like allowing journalists in or something. They're letting in guys that are essentially only there to tear down their conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just conservatism in a nutshell. I mean, never mind the Diamond and Silk thing. I mean, that's retarded, and Candace Owens and like the whole thing. It's just, it was multicultural. Was anybody
Candace
that
Owens
wasn't
at
black
least,
or gay allowed to speak?
Candace Owens is at least like smart enough to.
Candace
like,
Owens
to
can,
actually
can
present
herself like
actually
normal,
articulate. Yeah. Diamond and Silk are just like they just shuck jive and don't say anything.
They're
like,
literal sheboons. They're literal.
There's
like,
no.
Yeah.
I
you want to try and pull up
conservatives
their, try and pull up their
clapping
speech?
And cheering for her.
What do you got? What'd you say, Alex?
Well, my thing is,
Boomer conservatives are just clapping and cheering.
All
for
of
Diamond
them.
And Silk.
All of them. All. It's like that. It's like that meme. The angel
all
comes
of them.
Down. How many Boomer conservatives?
All of them.
Clap for the minstrel show. All of them. Yes.
I fucking hate these people.
Yeah, well, CPAC is just so lame, and I said, you know, it's sort of funny. Looks like you got it there. I was saying, like, you know, when you thought that GOP racism couldn't get worse, here they have this minstrel show at their freaking conference.
Hey, look.
Here we have it. Oh, boy. This should be a lot of fun.
I hate when my little thing is over here, and I can't... wow, this is really good, high-quality video. Well, YouTube, once again, is not working. All the functionality. Oh, and we're in full screen. This is what the browser's been doing lately. Today,
what
YouTube.
The heck? Why
YouTube,
is this so retarded?
YouTube has not been working today.
First of all, we want to say thank you to CPAC for giving two conservative black chicks who's down with politics
CPAC.
The opportunity.
That's right. That's right.
To be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not going to be here long, but I just want to...
Because I can barely speak in full sentences.
Yeah.
This is actually... I got to find Dr. Narcan and get some more insulin.
She's already been more articulate than I was expecting.
Makes America great.
Why is it so quiet?
That's right.
Yes. Be louder.
Yes.
I'm going to try to contain myself tonight, because you know...
I don't have any other gain stages to go to make this louder. What is this potato fucking video?
Yes. This video sucks.
What is RSBN?
I don't know. But you're notoriously terrible at Google, and so I'm going to go ahead and try to find it myself.
I Googled YouTube Diamond Silk CPAC, and this was the top. This is it.
Right. I can get fired up.
We know that.
Mm-hmm. Fired up.
Fired up. Yes.
Well, what makes America great is our freedoms and liberty.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to understand that we have our own minds.
This is, right. No, this is right side broadcasting.
We can think for ourselves.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have the right to act, speak,
Which one is better?
Which one is diamond? Which one is silk?
Here, I got a better version. You want to try it?
Yeah, I mean, you want to do
it. How can it be a better version? Think about what you're saying right now.
It's a better version of the better quality video.
I think it's the same one. I was on RSB. Unless you got the...
I'm not sending you the RSBN video. I'm not... See, this is the thing. I'm not dumb. I do things differently. Ooh.
That doesn't work.
Thank you, CPAC. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Say that works?
Yeah. Yes.
Say that works when you try.
Well.
What makes America great is our freedoms and liberties.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I want everybody to understand that we have our own mind.
That's right.
And we can think for ourselves.
Uh-huh. I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is literally like the one that's just a hype
woman.
We
have the right to act, speak, think what we want without hindrance and restraint from our government.
That's right.
But not from... Why am I even addressing this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to like comment on what they're saying, and then I'm like, who cares? Who just like... We could just watch this for a second, this little minstrel show they got going on here.
Another thing that makes America great.
Uh-huh.
We are one nation... Under God, baby. One nation under God.
That's right.
In what way? But anyway. Yes. Does the other one just say yes all the time?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just the hype man.
Wow.
This is how blacks work. They operate in teams of two.
One distracts. The other says, uh-huh.
No. What it is, the way blacks work is, it's not even that they operate in teams of two. It's that, like, one of them speaks and prophesies. One of them tells it. And the other people, the other blacks just turn into hype men. Like, tell it. Yeah, that's right. So, she's just playing, because there's only two of them. The other one is just playing that role herself. Mm. But if there was 10 more blacks, they would all be doing the same thing, too. As one speaks. And she's the speaker because she's the one that can read from the script, apparently.
Here in the United States of America, free from oppression and restriction imposed on us by the government.
That's right.
We have a right to be free, baby.
That's right.
Now, our founding fathers put in place the fundamental laws.
Uh-huh.
And who wrote principles this for them?
That...
I think they did.
Govern the United States of America.
No, don't.
And that is the Constitution.
That's right.
They did not write this.
What are you talking about? This is Grug, like it's third Grug grade. It's like third Grug grade research paper.
Yes, and it was written for them by a white person that know that they could never go beyond Grug. They could not have written this. Come on, guy.
These are one of the most basic shitty Grug points on earth. Of course they are. You don't think they came up with it? You don't think they learned these things on their own?
No.
The Constitution.
No, they didn't learn this shit.
We are free to think.
No. Mm-hmm. This was written for them.
Yes.
Look.
Could you imagine, like, this is the conference represent?
Can you imagine being a white person in that audience taking this seriously?
I think they take it more than seriously. This is who they are. This is what they want to worship.
Did you, not have that up on the screen?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I just turned it off.
All right.
Because
you're tired of it.
Are we done with this?
Yeah, I think so.
This is your conservative movement.
Yes, conservatism.
Build a wall guy.
I've seen conservatism.
They didn't like build a wall guy, and he kind of fizzled out. So now here's like 85 IQ sequins lady.
Yeah.
And her
I feel
friend.
Inspired. I can't wait to go out and render professional medical care to these people. I'm enthused. Enthused is the word that I would
use. Yeah, I mean... Can we get
a DNR on their economic principles? Like these two ladies will go out there and lower your taxes.
Yeah, what do they have anything to say about the Federal Reserve?
You know what the problem with this shit is? It's like this morning briefly on Facebook. I don't know why I clicked on a notification for like there was a watch party in like a Tommy Lahren group. They were watching Candace Owens speech, and all these all these white people and are all excited about it in comments. Like, yeah, tell them, I'm like.
They're turning into black people.
It's like Candace is
tell it, girl.
It's like Candace is a fucking fraud, yo.
Candace is a total fraud.
She's just doing this for...
How can you not see that Candace Owens is only doing this for money? If you can't see that... I'll grant you, Candace Owens is a significantly...
Now you're doing it to me.
Sorry. Go.
Keep doing it.
Just go. Go.
The point I was going to make is like for all the memeing we do about blacks...
Candace Owens is greedy!
All the memeing we do about... About blacks being stupid and low IQ. It's like they're smart enough, by and large, to not buy into like the Jewish free market economic theories and trickle down the conservatives are all about. they're smart enough to realize that it's not in their fucking interest to be like a pawn in a marketplace rather than, you know, a citizen of a country. They're smart enough to realize that, like, this is all bullshit. This tax cut for the rich stuff. Like, they're most like that is like you got to give them credit for that. And the thing about Conservative Inc. or that whole sentiment is like the feeling that blacks have, like, this isn't for us. Like, that actually can extend outward to pretty much more than just blacks. Yeah. Everybody, like, that kind of shit's not for us either. Well, right? Like, having a tax-free, untaxed Amazon is not for us.
Here's a woke take on this. So blacks come out of a low-trust environment that despite testing high for ethnic solidarity, because, like, they'll like, always say a black didn't do nothing if a cop tries to arrest him or something. So they'll be ethnically solid in that way, but they still live in a sort of kind of every man for himself type environment. And they're used to bullshit from other people. So they're not like immediately trusting you. When they see someone feeding you a line of bull, they're like, that's bullshit. Like, you're just trying to get one off on me, particularly if it's like all like they see like white platitudes of this kind of bullshit. And they just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that's bullshit. Right now, give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, that white people are used to a high trust environment, and they are used to ideas, and they're used to morals, and they're used to big concepts and like a guiding principles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So appeals to that can still get to white people. That's like black people just won't ever have that be appealed to them. The problem is black people correctly identify that the system is being run by a bunch of shysters using that shit to try and trick people. White people are just willing to be tricked because they are they're expecting a system where they're not being tricked, where these things are real, where we really operate on behalf really operate on the basis of some high-minded principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened before in the past. Problem is, this government has been taken from us. This system, this corporate government system has been taken from us. We don't control it.
Right.
I mean, the idea that white men control the system is so funny, right? White men control the system, which is why only white men are the only people like legally and officially discriminated against in all corners, right? That's like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
wow, fragile monster.
Yeah, ask me about how much control white men have in the system.
Yeah, I mean, white men can be functionaries in the system if they acquiesce to it, but that's about it. You can't, you know, that's like how this works. So black people correctly understand that it's all hokey bullshit. And I think increasingly numbers of white people are too, because when a system is fucking you over and not giving you shit. And people are fucking blowing smoke up your ass constantly. Of course, you're going to be like, yeah, fuck this. So there's that. But the thing with Candace Owens is actually smart. Okay, now
sure.
She's obviously maybe she's probably not like breaching, you know, it, like cracking.
She's smart.
The right
people
end of
listening
that belt
to her
curve,
stupid.
But the thing is, like, I look at Candace Owens, I see a fucking grifter.
Yeah,
I see through it. I see it immediately. I see it right away. These two are fucking basically, and the diamond and silk are still on the screen in front of us here. These two are just like grug brain to the ultimate. Like, they're grug thinks that these two are grug brained. You know what I mean? Like, that's like they're like exponentially grug brained. Candace Owens is significantly smarter than both of them in that she can speak, she can articulate, she can make arguments. She's actually very witty when she talks, and she's doing this for the fucking money.
Yeah.
And Whitey and Jewy.
Yeah. The thing these
Shlomi people, is just piling that money on her to keep this fucking Blexit scam going.
The thing that these people were, that's, I remember now, maybe have the thought. The thing that she was saying to these people that were, tell them. Whereas she was saying that, like, all we have to do is embrace the African American community. It's like, they're not embracing conservatism ever.
But it's like, I almost feel grug brain making that point. Because it's like, yeah, how many times do we have to do this? How many times? And the thing is that
as long as they go and do this, we're gonna make the point.
Yeah, but I don't like conservatives. I don't blame them for not embracing.
Well, you have two choices, like liberalism, not liberalism. The problem is that the official mainstream not liberalism isn't helping right now. So then we have to fucking tear it down for doing shit like this.
Well, mainstream not liberalism is actually more liberalism.
Yes,
it's liberalism.
I'm a consistent liberal. I'm more liberal than these people.
It's basically inconsistent liberalism versus liberalism.
Because it's anti-white liberalism. It's liberalism for everybody else.
It's basically classical liberalism versus anti-whiteness. Mm-hmm. However, The classical liberalism is still corrupted because it won't stand up for white people even within its own paradigm. Like, within the paradigm of classical, like, Sargon is a consistent classical liberal, and he gets called a white supremacist because he applies the doctrine equally to whites, where he says hey, if race hate is bad, which I'll accept, race hate against white people is also bad, and so therefore, like, he's a white supremacist, right?
Right.
So right. Sargon's a consistent liberal. Conservatives aren't even consistent liberals. They're like, they're actually just like, I don't even know what they are. They're like, they're just like filthy cowards. Like, I just
say, these are people that vote to censure themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, I kind of lost sympathy for Steve King when I saw that.
Yeah, that was kind of
voted to censor himself. I'm like,
isn't it amazing how, like, what it's kind of 2019 and, like, everything's
Steve,
over?
Like, what kind of flex is that?
That's what it feels like. Every single, like, little, like, green shoot has been, like, hit by, like, the lawnmower of doom.
Well,
it's been dug up by the root. It's like,
I'm not willing to say that. I mean, in terms of, well, I mean, look, you know, again,
here's a good little point here for your edification. Just compare how I handled being targeted by Christopher Mathias to Steve King's situation, how he handled it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come the fuck on, dude.
And I think this is the other thing that people we had to start doing, and we had to start understanding, is that this is actually a little thing I wanted to say, and you had kind of inspired me to say this before, is that, like, embedded in our laws, I know a lot of people are really cynical about America, but there's principles embedded within the laws that you can access, and if you fight hard enough, you can get something out of that. I mean, I was able to get out of my lawsuit. I employed the same kind of strategies that they employ, which is that I didn't let them get away with anything. Mm-hmm. I complained about their behavior at every juncture that I could. Every time they did something, every time they cut a corner, every time they did something unethical, I filed a complaint to the judge. Every time, I blocked every single thing they tried to do. Now, they were gloating about that subpoena getting the motion to quash the subpoena finally getting overturned. But think about this. They filed those subpoenas more than a year ago, and they only got over the objections to the... I first of all, filed a motion to quash. It was denied. I objected to the denial. And 8 months later, and I know that this happened because the judge had forgotten about it, and they breathed down his neck for a decision on it. I'm sure that in private they were like, "Judge, what the hell? This thing has been here for 8 months now." 8 months after I filed that objection, he overrules it. So for more than a year, I blocked that subpoena. That's a win in and of itself. Is keeping them from getting... They got no information. Think about this. They desperately wanted all this information from Twitter. They desperately wanted all this information from these other services. They desperately wanted this. For over a year, I blocked it. Just by filing a bunch of paperwork with the state. I bureaucrat ganged them hard. And they're mad. For over a year, they got nothing out of Twitter. I can't speak to what they will or won't get out of Twitter, but I'm telling you, the fact that it's been over a year and all those accounts have been banned... All those accounts they wanted messages from have been banned for over a fucking year. Good luck. Good luck finding anything.
Every time we have these battles,
you've got to fight. You've got to fight.
Yeah. We learn and we adapt. Every time these struggles happen and we get smarter, we come up with better strategies and we improve.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, the attitude going in is I didn't do anything wrong. I have every single right afforded to me under the Constitution and by the laws of the United States that are afforded to any normal citizen. I'm not some kind of outsider. I'm not someone that doesn't belong. I have every right to claim my legitimate right and place in this society as a member, a functional member of the society with all the rights and privileges granted to me. And I will fight for every single one. And if you try to take any of them, fuck you. Like, you don't get to call people's jobs and try and get them fired. If you do that, you are committing a civil tort, and you're going to be called out for it. That's the next step. That's our next step, is we're going to start doing this for people that have lost their jobs. They're going to start getting information on the people that called the companies to...
Yeah, I think we're building a nice little storehouse of information on that front already, and there's freedom of information requests. Well,
we got a bunch of information on people that complained about you, and that's interesting. We're gonna have to talk to a lawyer about what we can do there. But in terms of the I invite everybody to listen to the Strike and Mike episode 52, where Stryker and I talked to Blackstone from the Testudo Civil Defense Society, and I also put this up on the YouTube channel. I did an extended video on YouTube because I felt like people, even paywall people, don't necessarily, you know, that maybe haven't seen it. But anyway, spread that video around because there's a lot of really useful information on that one. But yeah, anyway, enough shilling.
Yeah.
I just think that I'm just really proud of us, and we're doing a little victory lap here, and I think everybody should look at this as an example of how you have to fight. You can fight through official channels, and in fact, honestly, official channels are the best way to fight because they're the ones that give you the most options. You know, go through, like, their government has all kinds of weird stuff in it that you can access if you try. I mean, the Jews figured this out, and look at what they've done. Took them 100 years. They gained total control of the society just by, like, fucking around a bureaucrat gang everybody to death. Also, owning the media helped.
A little bit.
Yeah. That was kind of their main tool, but, you know. But, yeah. Anyway, you look like you were getting bored or frustrated or upset or something.
Hmm?
Everything all right?
Constipated.
What's going on, big guy?
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if he's trying to... You were checking out.
I don't know what we're going to do now.
What are you going to do?
That was supposed to be CPAC.
I've got the... Well, what I mean,
we can talk about Sarah's Signer or whatever the fuck her name was contacting me from CNN and my response to her that is now circulating on Twitter.
So you want to keep going back? So you want to keep going back to this thing?
It's always about you, McNabb.
You said
it's always about me.
You said we're going to do something else.
No, I want to talk about the ATF agents.
ATF agents, what happened?
Oh yeah, no, that's good
stuff. What happened 26 years ago? I don't know. What happened 26 years ago to the ATF?
Oh,
a bunch of them died. Let me put that on screen.
Okay.
I remember all of this. I was watching this live.
So this post did not go well. I don't know what they thought, but on this day, 26 years ago, four ATF agents were killed in the line of duty in a mission outside of Waco, Texas.
Yeah, well, what are they doing there?
Special agents Conway LeBleu, Todd McKeon, Robert Williams, Steve Willis demonstrated determination and bravery that are the hallmarks of ATF agents. We honor all the special agents present that day whose persistence in the face of unarmed children, you know, being suffocated in a house fire exceeded the highest of expectations. Their bravery in the face of a bunch of weird boomers that wanted to worship Jesus differently.
Well, how did they die?
They died in the line of... They died in the fucking...
They died in the fire?
I don't know if it was the fire or the initial, like... Because first it was a shootout, and then there was the fire. I think this was a... Let's see, so February 26th, I believe that would have been... I think that was the final showdown. Actually, I'm not sure.
Should have prepped on this because I don't remember. Like, I know there was a shootout.
I don't know if it was the shootout that started it, and then there was more shooting in the firebombing and all the shit that came at the end. But the point is, they have the fucking nerve to put this up there. This play, like,
well, of course it.
I don't know how this agency still thinks that this is like good optics to be like, hey, remember that time we killed several American citizens. Many of them children. We fucking suffocated them in a fire.
Liberals love this.
Janet Reno was.
I've got something on this. Okay, but liberals love you. You might be underestimating the level that liberals love this because they put this on Twitter too. They put something about this on Twitter, and people were going off on them. And there were shit libs in the comments talking about how I'm supposed to. Be upset that a bunch of doomsday cultists set themselves on fire. You know, like they're still believing that. And they're like, what about the reports that like the incendiary devices were found near cans of gasoline?
Come on, those aren't shit libs. Those are ATF agents. Current ATF agents writing.
So?
Nobody, I have never heard anybody in years shill on the behalf of the government's actions in this. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I've never heard, not even like somebody who likes Clinton thinks this was good.
Really?
Yes. Anybody who likes Clinton like shoves this off on other people.
I have a very different experience.
The experience I have is like I have like the wire experience. Like this doesn't reflect on the mayor. This is the district commander was obviously not up to this task and botched it. Like
I don't want to blackpill you or,
all right, go
or
ahead,
make you upset, but where I came from, people loved this.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Kids fucking suffocating
they were applauding the government and they were happy that this happened.
Were they doing that thing where
once it came out that there were children, they moderated their tones a little bit.
But they also at first thought that this was a white supremacy thing, right? And then when that
well, they
out,
keep trying to say it was. It's not. It wasn't. Like half of these people were Filipino, but so they did try to imply if they could have pinned white supremacy on them, then conservatives would have been celebrating.
Yeah, everybody would have been like, yay! But this is like one of those. I don't know.
No, it was bad, and I agree with you that it was bad. But I'm just telling you, I don't know. Like upper middle class liberal areas where they don't think anybody's listening, that's not already in agreement. Like they were loving it. They were absolutely loving it. They were making jokes about how they got burned up, how these crazy people burned themselves up, and like whose fault? You know what I mean?
These comments are great.
I mean, people will.
Please don't protect the public anymore. The public is flammable.
Yeah. No, dude. I don't know. I mean, this is funny. I mean, I guess our experience is somewhat different.
I guess you grew up in a different. I don't know.
Well, I grew up in upper middle class.
I don't know anybody that ever saw this anything other than it was. But basically,
the spectrum of kids, they did moderate, but they always presented it as those children were the victims of the Waco cult itself.
Yeah, I've seen that too. But
and
this,
this crazy cult, and that they liked the idea of like these Christians getting killed. They were like, oh, they finally got the fire they always wanted.
I've never seen that.
I've seen the
spectrum of reaction I've seen is like on the right. This is a crime. This is a terrorist act by our government. And on the other end of the spectrum would be like, this was a tragic mishandling of a tense situation. Yeah. That's the two.
Well,
I've never seen.
Like, that's the public position.
Usually links Ruby Ridge to this, and they vilify Janet Reno justly for the actions that occurred. Like, where I'm from, I mean, they saw the government as like enemies and villains just because of this shit. Because, you know, this wasn't that long after Ruby Ridge.
Yeah,
it was all, and it was all based on the same shit. And if you notice, there was a push, and then of course we had Oklahoma City afterwards.
All right,
and there was a push. So now you're starting to see it.
This was the initial shootout. It was the anniversary because in 51 days, somebody in the comments, in 51 days you're going to put a memorial post for all the innocent women and children you burned alive during this botched raid.
Yeah. So this is the initial raid. That's the thing. So it's sort of like, all right, like Branch Davidians, I mean, didn't do anything wrong, but it's like, yeah, you killed four agents in it. I mean, look, they show, have you seen the footage of the initial raid? Because they were taking footage from a helicopter.
No, I just watched that TV show last year.
They went in through the fucking windows on the roof.
Yeah.
They like dropped down on the roof and they went in through like a window on like the second story. It's like, yeah, of course you fucking opened fire.
Yeah.
First of all, you're in Texas. If you think there's something special, now look, these people apparently did have a good amount of guns, but hey, whatever. It's not wrong.
Supposedly, the PC they had was some kind of trigger alteration. They had a modification for the handle for the guns, you know,
for the
push button part.
These fucking laws against these minor modifications of firearms are purely to trigger.
That was what they went with.
How we talk about how you leave the 400 troops in Syria so that you could potentially trigger a war later on. That's the equivalent of these like little laws against minor modifications of firearms.
Yep.
It's like, oh, because you know that there's guys that like to, you know, customize and fuck around with them. So let's just make it illegal to do that.
Yeah.
And then we can have an excuse for enforcement against these people. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Yep, that's what they did.
Fucking cares if there's a trigger
modification. So then they had this, you know, they had the standoff in front of the house. I think the initial raid, I don't think that involved people up on the roof. I think that was the second part. Yeah. The initial standoff, I believe, happened at the front door of the place and it's unclear who opened fire first. But nobody was supposed to be shooting in that situation. I'm, of course, basing this on the fucking dramatization I watched last year.
Did they not just go in like fucking full bore? Like, I mean, ATF agents...
That was 51 days later.
51 days... No, but I'm saying... Like,
after the standoff.
Yeah, but I'm saying the initial raid, did they not just go in? Like, they go in, like, SWAT gear?
But they had a standoff in the front yard. I don't think they actually... They didn't break into the house yet.
All right.
They went to try to force, like, they tried to, like, I think they tried to...
They had a search warrant. During that standoff,
it was a standoff.
I think they had people in the front yard and they sent people around through the window. I've seen footage of these people climbing through a fucking window.
I'm pretty sure that's after the 51-day siege.
All right, maybe.
I'm pretty sure that's
after the 51-day siege, the whole place was burned down.
Yeah, because they tried to... They went in through the window and they threw the tear gas in and they broke through, like, the side of the house with, like, construction machines.
The tear gas was flammable?
Yeah. And so, it's a mess. But here they are, like, they're still celebrating these guys. Like, these guys literally, like, shouldn't have been there. These guys that get shot. And then the public's given it to him. And once I scroll through the parts that are like our guys, you get to like the people I've never heard of that are like, lit my neighbor's house on fire because they had drugs and guns. Somehow I'm the criminal. What? All right, that guy apparently has his own personal problems.
That's like something else. Never mind. Going on. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Hmm. Besides innocently slaughtering women and children in Waco, Texas, this Facebook page is one of the biggest mistakes ever made by the ATF.
Yeah, no, the thing is though that like people that are mad about it will still be mad about it today, whereas the people that liked it will, like, they're not really going to speak up about it too much.
No. Well, what they did in the 90s as time wore on is they Benghazied this. They turned this into a thing that if you care about, this means that you're a crazy person that I don't have to talk to.
They do this. They there was like, course, I have oh, to, another one of these.
I have
people.
To find. Every time this comes up, I bring this up. But there was some kind of town hall thing. It was like Ted Koppel was hosting it, and a guy that started asking a question, and then he launched into a screed about what happened at Waco, and they cut his mic. Koppel called him a crazy person who needs to calm down. This is not appropriate for this guy. I don't remember what it was. God knows it was in one of these fucking Clinton crises that, like, the way they feel like they have to deal with it is to have a bunch of town halls and let people vent. Well, this guy vented about the wrong thing, and it was amazing how they shut him down and, like, don't think about that. This man is a crazy person. He cares about your government slaughtering dozens of you.
Well, that's how consensus media worked, and it worked that way, is that, like, look, and this is the problem with the media. I mean, people were talking about, like, media consolidation and stuff, because people are always complaining about it. It's like, oh, we're going to get a homogeneity of coverage. It's like, you had that going back for however long. You always had that. And essentially what it was, it's like you think if you have a liberal network and a conservative network, then everything is great. But, like, the problem is that something like this, a consistent face is put on it. Like, there's no one that is given any mainstream coverage that is going to cover this in a way that is adversarial to the government. And even though it's because they can't make it okay, they make it taboo to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. There's no good story here.
No.
But meanwhile, like, there's things that don't matter, like, that will be in the media forever. Like, Charlottesville will forever be the deadly white supremacist.
Oh, my God.
Rally.
Right? Yeah, they got what they wanted out of that.
But Charlottesville was nothing in comparison with Waco.
Nothing.
But if you talk about Waco, you are batshit. Meanwhile, I think if you're still mad about Charlottesville, you're fucking batshit. Because what are you mad about? Like, what are you still mad about? And so they're going to be talking about Charlottesville the same way in 20 years, and they're going to be talking about remembering it and remembering the national trauma of it. And I mean, unless things are significantly different in 20 years, which hopefully they will be, that's how it will be talked about. Oh, the national trauma we went through in Charlottesville, this whole, oh my God, it was so terrible, this and that. So they take the events that they want, and they create these memory, these focal points for, like, collective memory. And they give you the story of what you're supposed to think about them. And things that aren't included in that are memory hold, and you're not allowed to think about them, you're not supposed to think about them, or if you do think about them, then you're a crazy person. And that's just a way of keeping, it's a very powerful way of keeping a narrative consensus. And Waco was not part of that narrative consensus. Same with Ruby Ridge. I mean, those things are remembered, but they like, nobody really remembers what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in Ruby Ridge, Lon Horiuchi, he shot that guy's fucking wife and his kid.
Yep.
Yeah.
He got medals for that shit.
Something, right?
Yeah, he killed, dude, his 14-year-old son and his wife were both sniped and shot dead. They were killed.
Compare that to Charlottesville.
Yeah, right? It's like, and then that was a government agent doing it. FBI sniper Lon Horiuchi.
And they can't back down and they can't even, like, recognize that they fucked up.
No, they won't.
Yeah, to cover that, they have to give the guy a medal.
White people have a problem with this because, you know, we gave
that was
the
another
power.
Thing over a gun modification. Dude, gun modification law, it's fake and gay. The people are going to, people with guns are either going to shoot people illegally or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
People that like to, people that, some guy that has an illegal modification to a gun, it does not mean he's going to go out and shoot anybody. if he's like some kind of gun enthusiast, that's like a gun autiste who's like a collector and he's like a right wing guy. He has like his own property out in the middle of nowhere in Ruby Ridge or wherever. And he's got a few illegal modifications on those guns. You know how many people Randy Weaver would have shot ever? Fucking zero. Zero. None. He never would have shot anybody ever.
He wanted to be left alone. Never would have happened. He wanted to be left alone up in the hills there.
He just wanted to be left alone up in the hills. And you wouldn't do it because of these stupid gun modification laws. Meanwhile, it's a fucking murder show in Baltimore and Chicago and Philadelphia and New York and Atlanta and Gary and Newark and every other fucking city in Los Angeles. Everywhere, it's a fucking murder show of blacks fucking killing people. Blacks and whites, okay, black-on-white crime is very bad, and it is underreported. There's at least one black-on-white murder a day, and it goes unreported because, you know, they simply don't want us to know that it's going on. And because they know that if they reported, imagine every day the latest black-on-white murder was reported nationally in the press. That would be very much something that they don't want you to know about. It will be suppressed immediately. The mass shooting. We had a black mass shooter last week.
Say what?
What happened to that? You remember that?
No.
Black mass shooter. Was I watching? Killed five people. You don't remember this?
Was this real or was it The Wire?
No, it was real. Black mass shooter. What was his name? Travis something. He fucking shot. I can't even remember his name.
Poop?
He shot his workplace up because they fired him.
Brother Musel? Muson?
No. It was real.
It was a workplace shooter. Yeah, I did hear about this.
Yeah. Literally. I remember when his mugshot came out, I was like, well, that'll be gone. It was gone. Been gone. Now, you think if that was a white dude, it would be gone? It actually, given this media environment after a week, a white dude shooting up, you know, only five deaths? Yeah, maybe so. But, like, black guy, that shit was gone within an hour. Literally, as soon as his mugshot came out.
He black.
He's gone. We gotta go back to talking about Alex McNabb.
You couldn't even get the mugshot on normal sites. I saw it on one of those, like Jim Hoft, like Gateway Pundit. But it was real. I knew it was real because again, what they did was they took a screenshot of the LinkedIn of the guy of the same name saying he worked at that company, and there was LinkedIn screenshot, and there he was. It was a black guy, and lo and behold, it was really him. And then boom, gone from the media. So like, yeah, this is how it works. They're never gonna let you remember the stuff that you're not supposed to remember.
Oh, so I guess that means we're gonna have to talk to Bo next.
Let's talk to Bo. That's what we're gonna do.
Well, we gotta do a break. We'll talk to Bo after the break.
Okay.
Well, maybe should we play Bo's video as the break and we'll just not interrupt him? That's impossible.
No, we gotta do a mystery theater.
No, I gotta prepare myself for this.
Yeah, we gotta yell at Bo.
We'll yell at Bo, then we'll yell at Ben.
Bo needs to be, you know, verbally horsewhipped.
He needs to be retired.
Yeah. He needs to be peacefully sunset.
Yeah, the sad thing, I hate how Bo like thinks he's poignant.
Bo thinks
he's smart, like he's got a hot take. Bo doesn't have a hot take.
Bo annoys me on so many fucking levels with that shit. Like, there's so much about it that rustles me.
I forget what his real name is.
Who cares? His real name is, like, no one cares.
His real name is Faggot. So we'll take a quick break. We don't have anything to do here unless we play an old song or something. Ah, forget it. We'll take a break towards nothing. We'll just play two bumpers back to back, and then we'll be back. All right? Sound good? Sound good? We'll be right back. Yeah. We'll literally be right back.
That's kind of Charlie Horse. Fuck.
You're listening to TBS on the right stuff.
Doc Biz.
Wow, that was a brisk, very fast break. Did everybody have a good time having a break? Instantaneous for the listener. Hmm. Although the viewer had to go through the labor of mousing down to the other video player to press play. So I guess they got a break.
I suppose.
Well, they could have taken a break in depth. They could have left some comments under the post. They could have done all kinds of things.
Oh. We're supposed to talk about MMT.
I don't think we have time, brother.
We're specific opposite of this.
Oh, you're doing that on purpose.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, okay. No, we're going to talk to Bo.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Bo, then we're going to talk to Ben, and then we're going to do Schwitz and Carbon.
Maybe MMT at the end of this.
Maybe there's never time for MMT anymore. It's like MMT is like, the novelty's worn off. We all just like get it now.
Well, I would hope people get it.
I get it.
It's literally the truth.
It's literally just like money's fake and gay. You don't have to worry about it. So anyway, let's talk to old Bo here. Bo is finally, he's complaining about.
Look what his shirt says.
Please cancel my subscription. I'd like to know what it is to what, but
to
it's
the
like,
TRS paywall.
Yeah, but I would write back like, "Well, you go to the click the thing that says cancel. Why are you bothering me?
You go to my profile."
Well, yeah,
don't
anybody do that.
Yeah.
By the way,
howdy there, internet people. It's Bo again. So today we're going to talk about fake hate crimes.
He's not even really doing the Bo voice. God. He's just in the Bo. He's just
in the Bo character. Like, why didn't you? Why didn't he give his gay character?
He's out in Bo's.
Why does the ATF burn that fucking shack down?
You're right. Yeah, he's out in Bo's cucking. Well, he's out here aggressively, you know, filleting his enemy.
There's all kinds of illegal modifications to that shack.
Oh, I'm still with like the not sheetrocking any of it.
Yeah, it's gonna be cold in there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really sure why.
He's not sure why.
A lot of people ask for this video repeatedly. Some were nice, some weren't. I had one guy tell me I wouldn't dare talk about this subject.
I'm sure you did. Everybody clapped.
So when the story first broke, I didn't really follow it. I thought it was odd that the hate crime just stopped.
So he's just talking about, Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
I think. He never actually says it.
Yes. Yes.
Normally hate crimes don't have a happy ending. But it's not impossible.
Hold on. Wait,
maybe the attackers saw.
What does he mean? It just stopped.
The narrative he's going to spin is like, how can we call this a hate crime when there's no actual victim? Right? Like, because there was no, like, Jussie didn't frame up any specific white men as the attackers. He just framed an archetype that, like, there's no harm, no foul here.
You mean he just attacked an entire race?
No, he totally denies that.
This is specifically what he's going to counter.
This is specifically he's going to ignore that, and he's going to say, like, if you care about that, then you're the racist. So it's really just like, wow. It's like the aggressive, like, bent over, lubed up here, just like, shove it in me because I deserve it, daddy. It's amazing.
Somebody coming and took off running. Who knows? The police.
All with the faux tough guy stuff.
Will they investigate the complaint earnestly? They find new evidence. They follow that evidence and follow where it leads. They begin to suspect that he filed a false complaint, and they arrest him. This is completely uninteresting to me.
See,
you know, you're a fucking faggot. How about that? You're just a fucking faggot, Bo.
It's
you're
convenient.
A goddamn faggot. I hope the ATF shows up, shoots your dogs, and then burns you alive in that fucking shack.
The Bo Davidians. The Branch Davidians. The Branch Davidians.
I can't even.
I don't know.
Bo Davidians was probably the
aren't we the Ranch Davidians?
Oh, God.
That's what they called us after last year. The Ranch Davidians.
Who called us that?
I don't remember. I think it was the Oven Men.
Okay.
Bastards.
I don't even like ranch.
It's funny.
I don't even like it.
But yeah, I like that. This isn't interesting to me. It's like really like another anti-white hoax hate crime took place and doesn't interest you. See, it interests me as a white person who doesn't do hate crimes. It interests me that somebody would fake one and that everyone would take it dead seriously and believe victims.
I mean, he probably also is similarly disinterested in the Covington scandal.
I'd love to know about that.
He probably is similarly disinterested. He's disinterested. He blatantly, the funny thing is he confesses why he's not interested in it later in this video.
Yeah.
But there's something about this that fundamentally, like, gets under my skin. Like, this just fundamentally pisses me off. Like, this nonchalant attitude, because basically this is, like, the ultimate in faking gay copes.
Yes.
It's, like, oh, well, that wasn't even a big deal anyway. What are you mad about? Like, you're so mad. It's like, here we have a incident calculated. Now, granted, it was really dumb. Calculated to produce mass outrage of a political nature directed at a particular group of people.
The group of people you're allowed to do it to.
Yes, white people. It was a phony hoax meant to direct hatred towards white people.
Mm-hmm.
That is what he was doing. And also, of course, amplify Jussie Smollett's own name, make him famous, whatever. He was doing both. But in the service of his own, whatever, his own ego boosting that he was doing, he was using anti-whiteness. He was amplifying it.
Yes.
He was directing an outrage mob. And so those people that are on the other end of that mob are not interesting to him. Okay? And this is an interesting story, whichever way you want to slice it. Now, it would have been of interest had the story been real. So it being fake should also be of interest. What is the fundamental division that is being revealed here, which is why this is such a hot case? And here he is shrugging his shoulders like that. Wasn't even important. Why do you even care?
Why do you care?
Why do you even care?
You know, he probably knew from the beginning that it was fake. So he doesn't want to talk about it.
He probably, like, that's the other thing. Yeah. Like, a lot of, like, see, he's not, because he's not, like, a journalist or, you know, he can do videos at his leisure as he wants.
He's just,
So he probably knew from the beginning this shit was fake and he was just going to leave it alone. And apparently, you know, he finally, once he figured out a narrative he could use to browbeat, you know.
That's when he finally did the video.
To browbeat whites.
When he came out of where he could still hate whites for it.
Once he'd done the churning in his brain.
Stop anticipating the stuff that's going to make me mad and just play the part that makes me mad.
Because that's how it's supposed to work. So it doesn't make...
See, yeah, that's how it's supposed to work.
Right, right. So, okay, hold on. Let's go again. The other part of it, the other part of this nonchalant cope he's doing is like, well, look.
Everything worked out.
He said something fake.
He got arrested.
Cops investigated, and then what's the problem?
Everything worked fine here.
There's no greater social issue at play.
Alex McNabb got investigated. They found he did nothing wrong.
Right. That's something different.
That's different.
So I didn't understand the repeated request for this.
Oh,
so I had
come
to go to the right wing rage.
Also, like,
pages.
Wait, hold on,
hold on, you missed that.
He said he was supposed to be angry.
He had to go to the right wing rage pages to find out why he had to be angry. Come
now,
on. Okay.
I didn't understand the repeated request. Shut up! Stop being disingenuous. This is what pisses me off.
It's obtuse.
You're lying.
You're lying.
You know why people are asking you to do this video. Get the fuck out of here.
They want people. Your followers wanted permission to still hate white people, even though this hoax was a hoax.
There was probably also haters that were like, it was haters too.
But sure. It's also fucking his followers. Like, they want permission to, like, can this be real anyway?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it was purely haters that were taunting him.
Could be.
Yeah.
Wing rage pages to find out.
Ah, shit.
Request for this video. So I had to go over to the right wing rage pages.
Rage.
To find out why I was supposed to be angry.
Yeah, why should I be angry for being, like, accused collectively of something
that
didn't happen?
Why now?
Anybody wearing a MAGA hat is a Nazi. And an evil person that violently assaults gay black Jews on the streets of Chicago.
Why should whites be angry about a racial slander directed at them? I mean, nobody else would be angry about racial slander. It's like, look, how about this? You know, they found some kid in Rigo Park in New York was drawing swastikas on the in chalk on the playground on the basketball court there.
A little bit of that.
And you know, the police investigated. They found it was a 12-year-old kid, and this is completely uninteresting to me.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how it's supposed to work.
That's just what's supposed
to happen.
They arrest
the kid, and they're going to put some charges against him.
It's
going to
be fine.
Even though he's only 12 years old.
You know, it's some swastikas drawn, and you know, that's vandalism. So the police investigated. They find the guy.
Nothing more there.
There's no greater context here. There's just it's whatever. It's fine. I'm totally interesting.
And they tell you why you need to be mad.
Because this guy never tells you why he needs to be mad.
I didn't know that he should.
Yeah, Bo would never tell us
Bo
why.
Bo would never tell you to be mad.
He's not going to spend the balance of this video telling you why you should be mad.
He doesn't tell you to be mad. It just makes you mad.
Yeah. The rest of the video, he's not going to tell his people why they should be mad.
He's never going to tell you what to be outraged and mad about. No, God. Bo is above that.
Yeah.
Bo is far above that.
And
the aloof observer.
Because of this,
holy shit.
Know that he should be charged with a hate crime.
Jesse Smollett, charged with a hate crime.
And suffer a lengthy prison sentence.
Yes.
Because of this, because he put people's lives in jeopardy. He, you know, I mean, he called the cops, and they could have just found two random white guys wearing MAGA hats and arrested.
Is it calling the cops an act of violence now? You call the cops on black people? It's an act of violence.
Yeah, because calling the cops.
So just calling the cops is fine.
Arrested them. Innocent people could have gone to jail. They could have gotten beat or hurt. Man, you're right. I didn't think of that. That doesn't happen any other time. That's not a common occurrence.
Hold on.
So let's give him 10 years.
I mean, that's not really a common occurrence.
He's blowing it off because he's pretending that this is a...
He's pretending that we're on a level playing field among all groups. That's what he's pretending.
Yeah, he's always pretending. Well, first of all, he's trying to pretend like white people like don't get punished for stuff and go to jail, right? He's trying to pretend like white people don't get framed up, like white people don't get unjustly accused of shit.
White people get framed for hate crimes.
I'll tell you straight up. I will tell you straight up. If there had been a white person with a MAGA hat on any of those surveillance videos.
Oh, my God.
Now, in some ways, I suppose urban populations have themselves to blame for the fact that they've terrorized white people to the point where they won't wear a MAGA hat within a large urban area. You can only do that out in the country, where you don't want to walk around a place like Chicago, even in the nice part, with a MAGA hat, because somebody will accost you. It will happen in New York. If you're going to do it in New York, you better have a bunch of buddies with you, because you will start just getting attacked by people on the street. So the urban population should be proud of themselves for whipping up frenzy to the point where nobody will even wear this innocent symbol on their head.
Symbol of a presidential campaign,
yeah,
for God's sakes.
Symbol of like it's just a hat. And I mean, which is totally an interesting
thing. Well, I mean, this is the same
hat, right?
This is the same group of people that made it so you can't do this anymore.
Yes, right, exactly. It's like, look, it's just a hat. It's completely uninteresting to me.
This.
Right? I mean, I love this. Like, this is the new thing. That's completely uninteresting to me. But you know that if there had been a white guy, not even if he had a MAGA hat, just a white guy.
Yeah, but he's saying it doesn't matter because somewhere a black guy is getting beaten up on a street corner
by another black guy.
I have no idea. Yeah, by another black guy. No, by a police officer or something.
I mean,
somewhere any white guys have been unjustly accused of anything.
I know of a few.
Imagine that. Imagine that happening. But it's like, all right. So
anyway, let's just let him go.
Let's give him 10 years. I mean, I think people call the cops too much anyway, and I don't even watch his shows.
It's not 2009. Nobody's libertarian anymore. Don't say you call the cops too much. People call the cops at an appropriate frequency.
So let's just throw him under the bus.
Yes.
10 years. But I'm assuming that in the cells next to him will be Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky.
No.
Maybe even the president for putting out that ad, full-page ad, calling for the execution of people who later turned out to be innocent. I mean, if we're going to worry about state violence, let's do it.
He's just lost in the weeds now.
Yeah, like,
these things do not connect.
No, this is the thing that always rustles me about Bo's videos.
Well, I see
he's
what
like,
he did.
Bo's, I do see what he did, but it took me a second. So this is what always rustles me about Bo's videos.
That he's always wrong? Well, like, he's egregiously wrong on purpose?
He's egregiously wrong, but, like, his narratives
are garbage.
Bad.
Yeah, they're very bad.
Like, there's some people...
He's taking this and conflating it with state violence. No, we're not talking about state violence. We're talking about racial animus. We're talking about a culture struggle between a guy who's going to impugn...
Yes.
Ooh, there you go. The entire white population of this country in this hoax. He's going to impugn with impunity.
Let's not.
God damn it! I can't
police.
Finish my thought anymore because that's too funny. Impugning the impunities. Good. So he's connecting this.
Do you have a show title there?
It could be
impugning.
I'd have to figure out how to spell each one though. I think there's a silent G in impune.
Oh yeah, there's a G.
Yeah, there's a G in there.
Oh boy, there's a G. G money. Oh shit!
Like Jinx, you owe me a Coke or something.
I don't do that.
Yeah, he's taking the attack that like. No one's afraid that like a cop is going to show up and beat up two white guys in MAGA hats.
The cops were looking for guys in MAGA hats.
Right. I don't think they were going to beat them up. I was afraid they were
going to be arrested.
Afraid they would be arrested,
and that this thing was going to play out, and it was going to create the cultural phenomenon of like, hey, the MAGA hat hordes out there of normies are beating random black people in the streets as they find them, shouting, "This is MAGA country," a thing that's absurd and not happening.
Well, what I think,
right?
What,
like that's what I was worried. Like it was going to lead to a further crackdown on free speech, on public association and assembly, and anybody who's not even just us, but so like I was afraid that this dragnet was going to expand because of this attack. That's what the intended fucking outcome was, Bo. Yeah.
Well,
not the simple fucking problem, the simple small grug brain libertarian problem of the state violence. Like, no, that's fucking like the last thing in anybody's mind. The thing here, like, say, yeah, state violence against white people for being white people. That's what this was going to happen. They think all the nightmare things that you think that the state does to black people, they actually do to us, and this is going to be like a good excuse to do more.
Yeah. See, what I was
that's what the right wing rage page has to tell you, Bo. Someone should clip this and send it to him.
What I was afraid of was that I thought the story was so absurd that it was, you know, it was lending to the general atmosphere and environment of white hatred.
Yes.
And then, had there been, unlikely that a white person would be wearing a MAGA hat, but say there was another guy that wanted a sub at 2 in the morning, a white guy wanted a sub at 2 in the morning.
Oh, God.
That guy would have gotten picked up. He would have been a suspect, and he would have had to have dealt with a whole ton of shit in order to get his name cleared.
Yeah.
He had to have gotten a lawyer. Yeah. He'd had to have paid all this stuff. Now, eventually, he would have had a complaint against Jussie Smollett, he would have gotten court fees, attorney fees, whatever, for the false reporting.
Assuming that he could get away,
assuming that could happen.
Assuming there was any evidence to exonerate him.
Assuming he couldn't be somehow framed up, right? So this is the thing. Like, it is possible in that neighborhood, which is apparently a wealthy neighborhood in Chicago, luxury condos and such, that a white guy could also have been a bit peckish at 2 a.m. and gone out for a sub sandwich, right? Like, and if there had been a white guy within any range of any of those surveillance cameras, he would have been in for a world of trouble with the law with this. And so Bo is trying to blow this off like it's a trivial concern. I don't think it's trivial.
It's not trivial.
It's concerning on an individual level for any person that could have been caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's blowing that off like that's nothing, but it's actually a totally legitimate complaint. And then on top of that, there's the general atmosphere that it would have contributed to. So,
and Permit Patty and these other people that he mentioned.
And if it's so,
like, they're calling the cops because they can't take matters in their own hands and remove nuisances from the streets.
Yeah.
Right? When you're in a park and somebody's, I can't remember what Permit Patty was having, but somebody was disturbing the peace with, like, you know, they're doing their bullshit, they're selling stuff.
It was some woman that was calling the police on black people being rowdy in public.
Yeah. Which
and,
is,
like, whatever. Yeah.
Nobody wants to be around rowdy black people.
Yeah.
And so you think what you do
also,
is you call the police.
Trump wrote, first of all,
whatever the full page ad was or something.
Trump put out a full page ad. He's got it wrong. Trump put out a full page ad for the Central Park Five. And
which is a sham.
He did not call for their investigation, for their execution. He put a reward. I can't remember exactly what it was. He put reward money out for people that will come forward with evidence that led to who they were. Now, they did arrest these guys, and I think it's possible, although I'd have to look into it, that Trump might have made comments that he thought they should be executed. That's, look, well, I wouldn't put it past him, and I don't care that he did. But you got to remember, we're dealing with an actual crime.
Yeah, that an the nature actual of that woman, crime, people who committed that crime should have been executed.
An actual woman was held down,
and I don't believe their exoneration.
And I don't believe that
do
those
not
guys
believe
were
their
innocent.
Supposed exoneration.
What happened is
bullshit.
That all of them were able to blame another person. See, they found DNA that didn't belong to any of them, and they all told
basically,
the story.
Basically, there's another guy that got away.
So basically, there was another conspirator that never was arrested, and he was probably Latino and not black, according to... I mean, we go into the weeds on that, but I don't want to go back in the weeds on the Central Park Five. Suffice it to say, first of all, they're all dead except one now, anyway, from drugs and suicide and all other kinds of crap. But they were actually guilty or involved. One of them said, we didn't rape her, but we held her down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you're pretty guilty of bad crimes then. But anyway.
Let's see if we can finish this. There's 90 seconds left.
Now it's not so appetizing. Now it's not so rage-inducing.
Yes, it is.
You don't care about those cases. Just
no.
The one. Right?
Wait, hold on a second.
Because there's no connection between the cases, Bo.
Because he's trying to appeal this abstract idea of state violence. It's like, no, guy.
We already
we're talking about justice, period.
Yeah, justice, period.
Talking about what is right. It is not. You're trying to reduce it to some...
He's looking for, as I said, he's looking for permission to still hate Whitey over this.
Yeah,
he's trying to reduce the complaint.
Go at this is another thing that I see these liberals do. They try to take older tier conservative premises.
These are outdated libertarian ideas. Yeah, he thinks he's causing cognitive dissonance within the people that hold these.
You're not the hypothetical people
who. Don't
no one cares. This anodyne idea of I'm against state violence. No one's like that.
No one's like that anymore.
What we want?
Blacks are against state violence.
No, it's stupid. It's really dumb. And look, it's like, if we're against state violence, let's be against it. No, Bo. We're against somebody getting fucking framed up.
Yeah.
We're against somebody inciting hatred against white people.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Like, this is so fucking, this is so low.
This isn't the 1960s. We don't have two sets of laws.
It's not the aughts either.
For people based on their skin tone.
Yes, we do.
What the fuck is he asking? What is he talking
about?
He's
just out in the weeds. He thinks he's like invoking the Jim Crow era as if there's not two sets of laws for white people and everybody else.
We should go back and let him talk for like...
If I don't talk about a subject, it is not because I fear talking about it.
You just told me to let him talk.
No, go. I want you to go back more because I want everyone to see the disjointed narrative in its complete glory.
Okay, all right, so no interrupting.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible.
But I'm assuming that in the cells next to him will be Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky. Maybe even the president for putting out that ad, full page ad, calling for the execution of people who later turned out to be innocent. I mean, if we're going to worry about state violence, let's do it. But now it's not so appetizing. Now it's not so rage-inducing.
I'm hungry.
You don't care about those cases, just the one, right? Can't imagine what the difference is. This isn't the 1960s. We don't have two sets of laws for people based on their skin tone.
Yes, we do. It's just not the way you think we do.
If I don't talk about a subject, it is not because I fear talking about it. It is because it's...
You should, because you did a terrible job.
I can't use it to make a wife.
You should fear talking about it because you're not doing well. What?
You interrupted him before he got to the ultimate... You had to go back a few seconds.
All right.
You interrupted him before he got to
we got up to where we were.
No, but if you wanted to say something, go ahead.
I just said you should fear talking about this because you're not doing a good job. This video, he should not have put
I
up.
Fear talking about this because I can't put together a coherent
Have a good coherent narrative that's viable for anybody.
Yeah. Not because I fear talking about it. It's uninteresting to me. I can't use it to make a wider point.
Oh, and no,
normally
I can.
The outrage of the day isn't useful for making a wider point. It's only useful for dividing people along partisan lines, turning them into drones, and making them ideologically inconsistent. That's what they're good for. That's what the massive coverage of events like this, that's what it's good for. One of the biggest problems in this country is that people are more concerned about red versus blue than they are their own beliefs.
Jesus Christ. Now we got to do horseshoe shit?
If people
horseshit
could
theory?
Ideologically consistent, it would be a whole lot easier.
What the fuck is he talking about? Oh, ideologically consistent in state violence. Yeah, nobody holds that anymore.
Well,
state
violence. White people are ideologically consistent.
But
nobody else can just do whatever the fuck they want.
My ideologically consistent.
Even white people are not ideologically consistent.
I like state violence.
Nobody is ideologically consistent. And on top of that,
But did you see the consistency he's asking for, though?
Yeah, no.
The ideological consistency
he's like,
to paper over this issue is state violence.
He's like, please, conservatives, can you stick to one shitty narrative that I can attack easily, please? Can you guys just stick to, like...
If you
it's like,
really
I don't
care.
Like it when... I don't like it when white people get mad along racial lines because I want them to stick to their typical shitty conservative talking
taxes,
points
please.
That are, like, super easy
to attack.
All
right, I just
want to
finish this. Yeah. I just want to finish.
If you only care about this guy... And what he did.
Here we go. Here it comes.
And this instance, it's blindingly racist.
If you care about an attack on your race, you're a racist.
It really is. Anyway, it's just a thought.
It's not much of a thought.
Why did the ATF attack him?
Huh? Why does what?
Speaking of attacks on races and things like that, an ATF attack on this guy would be nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's libertarian. God knows. God knows what kind of LARPy like weapons mods he has. I don't know.
No, he's
this guy is so. I can't
he's
take
it. It just sucks. It's just gay.
He's just a shitty fucking faggot. I hate him.
How does
he
have
he
fans?
Because he's doing a fake smart above it all thing. He's another like Sargon, but for a different kind of person. A different kind of centrist. A different kind of
more than the fucking fake smart
it's like,
above it all.
It's like
guy.
you're pretending that you don't like state violence. You're pretending that we're all one race, the human race, and there aren't different kinds of subgroups with different kind of interests and different kind of like triggers and things like that. Like pretending that none of that exists, and so. Yeah. When in the end, it's all just a paper over an anti-white.
Yeah,
animus.
I mean, if
whether
it's
or not he even realizes
so,
that, I don't know.
It's kind of funny to attack outrage the so-called outrage machine. Everything he did here.
This
was
is essentially the outrage machine backfired on the people that run it. That's what this happened.
That's why
it's interesting.
That's why
I'm saying it's not interesting.
That's why it's
because it doesn't move your narrative when the outrage machine backfires on its operators.
There's a few, so his narrative is so bad in so many ways. Now the outrage machine, if it's uninteresting, why won't he attack it when the initial outrage machine made this a story? If the initial outrage machine hadn't made this a story, then it wouldn't be a story.
And that goes back to I'm pretty sure he just knew he was smart enough to know that that this was bullshit, and so he didn't jump out in front of it like everybody else did.
No, he didn't. But then he goes for after that, he's retreating back into. He's trying to do like a horseshoe theory, a sandwich theory or something like that, where he's like,
"Oh fuck, I'm starving."
Yeah, dude, I've been wanting a sandwich for so long.
I love sandwiches,
but he's just like, it's like so bad. Like, oh, it's like it's like he goes from horseshoe theory to I'm above it all, and like people shouldn't be so. That is the most basic bitch political talking point ever. Is I wish people would stop being so partisan. It's like, guy.
That's just basically saying, I wish there would stop being people on the other side.
Yeah,
I wish I could stop
really
having
just,
opponents.
Which really, really mean, yeah, that's exactly what it means. It's like, oh, everyone's so partisan. Meaning, no, meaning the people, there's people on the other side of yeah. my views that
I too,
aren't just like individuals. They are seeing themselves as a group.
Yeah, I too wish that I didn't have any political opponents. That'd be thing, make things would yes. be a lot easier for me
yes.
if that were the case. Yes. You know, that's very convenient. In fact, we should move on to a tribe of people who also make no bones about it. That's what they think. When we talk about Lil Ben now.
From Bo to Ben.
Yeah,
that's
two.
The show title.
I thought I like Impugn with Impunity.
Okay. Or, all right. Okay.
Impugn Impunity.
Okay. Impugn with Impunity. Okay. So we're going from Bo to Ben. Now, this is an interesting little Ben clip, and it's more interesting.
Right, do I start right from the top, or do I think
let me do a little intro here. It's more interesting in light of a story that came out on February 27th. I have an article. After we do the Ben clip, I'm going to put up this article from the Jerusalem Post on the 27th.
Always a good
as
read.
Well as we'll also put up some other things that Ben has posted that indicate that maybe what he thinks here
Ben loves to
is
post.
Not exactly the truth.
Ben's a good poster.
So here's Ben.
Here's Ben.
Basically deflecting a question from a goy in the audience. Let's watch.
All right. I'll preface my question by saying that I admire your work for a number of different reasons.
What's going on here? It's frozen.
Perhaps what I find most admirable about you is your strict sense of ethnic and religious identity as a Jew.
As a dirty, stinky Jew.
Your Jewish background has clearly played a significant role in influencing or shaping the political, social, and cultural ideals and values that you have, as well as your support for Israel
All right.
as a nation state. So,
I'm
wondering, Ben, do you support the classical definition of a nation as being demographically and culturally homogenous, like that of Israel, similar to the definition that American forefathers generally upheld, with exceptions, of course, until the Hartzeller Immigration Act of 1965?
So that's the question. Let me fix that up here.
Yeah, can you fix this? And like, I'm sorry.
I know what
the,
I did.
The viewers are gonna have to.
That was one of our guys.
Yeah, hold on a second.
I got it.
The viewers are going to have to live with us doing like a second take because I wanted to do this for YouTube. So we're just going to do a second take on it now that you've got the video working, if that's okay.
Shit. All right.
You don't have to edit the video.
No, I got you. You want me to play it again?
The paywall viewers.
All right. I didn't realize.
The paywall viewers will get.
Okay.
You know, and side. I can edit the video on my end, so I'll edit the intro.
All right,
blah, blah, blah.
Sorry about
Let's
that.
Just do it. Yeah.
All right. I'll preface my question by saying
okay,
that I admire your work for a number of different reasons, and perhaps what I find most admirable about you is your strict sense of ethnic and religious identity as a Jew. your Jewish background has clearly played a significant role in influencing or shaping the political, social, and cultural
100.
Ideals and values that you have, as well as your support for Israel as a nation state. So, I'm wondering, Ben, do you support the classical definition of a nation as being demographically and culturally homogenous, like that of Israel, similar to the definition that American forefathers generally upheld, with exceptions, of course, until the Hartzeller Immigration Act of 1965.
Okay, so, I want to correct that I take a lot of pride in my ethnic...
I know, is Yaff going to be real mad there?
Was like, that Yaff?
Yeah, Young Americans for Foundation. Like, are they
going to be mad? Is that Young Americans Foundation, Young Americans for Freedom? I was thinking,
Yeah, Yaff.
It's, yeah,
that guy was laughing whenever he claimed to respect him for being such a strong Jew.
Yeah, I think this guy...
I think this might be the only kind of plant that Jews don't jerk off on.
I don't know if he's a plant. I think he might be a guy. I think he might be a guy that maybe has some other influences and decided to go to the Ben Shapiro speech
maybe he's
like genuinely curious.
Yeah, maybe he just wants like Ben once and for all to to kind of like reconcile this sort of this fundamental contradiction, this, this contradiction in the ideology that like
he can't.
So here we go.
He literally cannot.
Let's get into the answers here.
Yeah, let's see how Ben Shapiro handles this one.
Listen, Goyim, I don't know who let you in here to express you to. Obviously, you're some kind of Nazi who doesn't toss me softballs if you look good.
Like, look, you were supposed to toss me some softballs asking about whether men and men and women are women and SJWs.
I don't care about ethnicity. I care about ideas. And the idea here, buddy, is like you're not allowed to hate Jews like that. Because,
well, listen, guy, the idea here is that this is an anti-SJW speech.
Which voice are you fucking doing over there, you fucking kike? I don't know what you think
Chris
this is.
Cantwell over there.
That's what I just thought was going on.
I thought I was doing your imitation of Ben. So no, what Ben wants is this is the anti-SJW speech. He wants to complain about SJWs doing identity politics
instead
on campus, reducing everything to race.
Yes.
Because oh God, these non-whites reducing everything to race are going to make the whites start identifying as whites, and I'm here to make sure that doesn't happen.
And this guy basically just asked, so can we just identify as whites now? Please, Ben. Is
please,
that okay with you?
Ben, please. And he's gonna be, Ben, and please, Rabbi. Teach.
And we looked at the data, and the answer will shock you.
Yes.
One, I want to correct a mischaracterization. You said that I take a lot of pride in my ethnic and religious identity. I take no pride in my ethnic identity. I take a lot of pride in my religious identity.
Look at his face.
There are a lot of people.
He's mad.
Is there something that I should put on screen from his Twitter, perhaps, as he's saying this?
Yes, I sent it to you.
Is it in my book?
In your little DM there. I want to call attention to Ben's.
You gonna put his sister's titties on screen?
those are a strong ethnic phenotypic marker, right? Like Kazar Milkers are
when the Milkers strike. Yes. None strike harder.
So as Ben talks about how he does not care.
Yeah, it's Ben Shapiro, my 23-year-old. Fully accurate genetic test here. 100% Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
So he's not at all proud of his
ethnic. There's no pride here.
This is all about ideas. The idea being that if that says 100% Ashkenazi, that I have something to be proud of.
Yes. I mean, you would never boast of your DNA test unless you felt some kind of pride in it. And everyone feels kind of pride. The same way you like getting your DNA test back 100% European. I'm assuming all of our listeners are 100% European. If you're not, what are you even doing? Joking. But you know, you get your 100% European DNA test, and you're like, yes, that feels great, right? That's how Ben feels, except more so when he gets 100% Ashkenazi Jewish.
So he also, he just denied the his statement made in this tweet here that's on the screen.
Oh yes,
23andMe coming through with fully accurate genetic test here.
I'm not proud at all.
Not proud at all of this. I did not.
I could have 0% Ashkenazi Jewish DNA, and I would
still think that we need to show every Palestinian Arab all over the world.
I'd have zero genetic identification with the Jewish people historically, and I would still want to kill their enemies and drive them from the land as Yahweh commands.
I would still want to bulldoze the fucking the homes and the settlements of their enemies and just destroy them and just shoot at their children.
Judaism is creedal, guy. I don't need any ethnic DNA to like kill the fucking Arabs. Let's listen.
That felt good. That was fun. All right, creedal. Benny. Let's go with Benny and his creedal.
Yeah. Rock the creedal.
Creedal of filth.
I just don't care about. Right, like Noam Chomsky was born Jewish. He's a schmuck. Like, I don't care at all. Bernie Sanders born Jewish schmuck. Like I don't.
All right. There's born a lot of white Jewish people I think are assholes too.
Yeah.
That's like really quite irrelevant. Like you know what I, like there's probably more white people that I think are assholes than almost any other group.
Is Chomsky even anti-Zionist? I don't remember.
Chomsky does a bait and switch. Chomsky's a left wing Zionist, I'd say, because Chomsky says like we need a two state solution along the UN lines, 1967.
That we can violate from 20 years from now.
He will call them out on the violating of it, but he's like the main thing Chomsky does is he says, what are you talking about? Israel controls the U.S. Israel's a colony of the United States.
But that doesn't
make sense. So.
That I'm making is that religious identity is a different thing because that's a set of ideas and values. Religion is creedal, in the same way the American Declaration of Independence is creedal. So when it comes to the definition of a nation,
and it's creedal, that means I can be a part of it, right, guys?
I would say that it is very important that a nation have a creed in common. I'm not particularly.
What if that creed is no Jews?
Interested in having an ethnicity in common? When they say that Israel, for example, is ethnically homogenous, that's just not true. Israel is filled with Russian Jews and Ethiopian Jews. And Yemeni Jews. My wife is a Moroccan Jew. So just because they all have a religion in common doesn't make them ethnically identical.
What else do they have in common?
We have all kinds of Jews here.
Well, it's just a creed.
It's just a creed.
Just like we have in America. Yeah, in America, we have white Constitution believers and black Constitution believers and Jewish Constitution believers and Ethiopian Constitution believers and Mexican Constitution believers. Mm. And, you know, it's like America's creed on.
We have one
based on the idea of
we have one 1024th Native American Constitution believers. We have one or two of those.
This nation is creedal. That's why we put the Native Americans on reservations because they were a different creed. They didn't believe in the Constitution.
Mm.
By any stretch of the imagination. Right? Again, it's pretty hard to find somebody who's more ethnically non-identical than a Russian Jew and an Ethiopian Jew. So the reason
What happens to that Ethiopian Jew?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a number of issues here. Okay, first of all, Ashkenazi Jews, there's basically two major strains in Judaism. Those are what they call the Ostjuden, the Ashkenazi Eastern European Jews, and the Western European Sephardic or Spanish Jews, which mainly were Jews that had kind of moved out of two different kind of camps that migrated to different parts of Europe. The Sephardim settled mainly in Spain, and a lot of them converted to Christianity, pretended to, then the Inquisition, and then they were collaborating with the Muslims. The Muslims get driven out by 1492. These people spread across the rest of Europe, and a lot of them come to the New World as well. That's one strain. The other strain are the Pale of Settlement Jews, the Ashkenazim, who are the main strand of Judaism because a lot of the Sephardic have either bred out into the Goy population or died off or started to identify as Ashkenazi because Ashkenazi were the dominant sect in Judaism. Yeah. Anyway, the issue here is...
Who here?
The issue here is that his Moroccan Jew wife is probably Sephardic. She's probably still basically, quote-unquote, a white Jew. She's not a Moroccan Arab. But the point is, Jews have, those two major strains are the two major strains. Then there's another smaller group of Arab Jews called Mizrahi, and then there's these weird African Jews. They get sterilized in Israel. So racially...
But they get to live there, though.
And also, if they're so racially dissimilar, where's this 100% DNA coming from? The DNA is clearly identifiable to a racial group.
That's just creedal.
So this is fundamentally a lie. And so there's a lot of backup questions I would have asked, but let's wait till he's done, and then I will tell you the backup questions I would have asked. Yeah, listen, guy.
We've got 1 minute of pill pull left.
Yeah,
here.
One more pill pull. 1 minute of pill pull.
2 minutes of pill pull.
Even Israel is a nation state is not for ethnic reasons. It's because of religious observance reasons.
Okay.
Israel is a place where the religion of Judaism can thrive and be safe, which I think is an important thing. And I think the same thing is true.
It can't happen in America.
Don't give me any more ideas.
No, I know. I don't want it. But yeah,
the creed of the United States. I think America is a creedal country. I think it's what has made America great. Now, that's not to say that everybody who comes into the country has an equal capacity to assimilate to that creed. The assimilation capacity of people, I don't think, has to do much with ethnic identity. I think it does have to do with cultural identity. I think there are cultures that come into the country, people who come from various cultures, who may not be as easily able to assimilate, because obviously...
It's almost like that seems to correlate ethnically a lot, but whatever, that's fine. There may be a correlation there, but let's pretend, it's not causality,
That's just the case. I mean, there are people who come in and they already know English. There are people who come in and they've already had a history.
Oh, who are the people? What kind of people already know English when they come in? Would they be people would they be Europeans, generally speaking?
Mm.
I mean,
doesn't everybody just know English now?
I think Indian. Oh, he's also talking about Indians. Fuck
Indians.
He's fucking talking about Pajits.
Western democracy. There are people who come in and they've never seen a gay person before, and in their old country, they're caned and killed.
That's right. We have to make sure that we got to make sure we save our gays. That's creedal.
I forgot how mad that part made me.
That's creedal.
Yes.
How does Israel do it? Because
God knows if there's one thing that identifies the United States,
it's gayness.
It's gay people. So if you come into America and you don't like gays, boy, you're not going to fit in.
G.
God. I legitimately lost my fucking temper there. I don't know. I actually screamed incoherently.
Is there a vibrant homosexual scene in Tel Aviv?
Yes.
Oh, there is. Yeah. Well, all right. Thought I would have him on some hypocrisy there, but whatever. What about in Jerusalem?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that this is a we already talked about how the issue of abortion in Israel is actually just
again, and that's a story I have as well. That's a story I have as well, and the dovetails with that too.
What, the abortion?
Well, I have something along those lines. Not exactly abortion, but we talked about the termination board.
Oh yes,
how they go about
doling out abortions.
How they go about using it to protect the Jewish, to get rid of mixed births.
There's probably nothing left of this. We should just go into the article I have.
Well, let's give them the last two seconds.
All right,
let's finish
20
it
seconds.
So it's important to recognize that cultures are not the same thing as ethnicities. And I think it's a dangerous game to play when we say that that ethnicity means culture when they clearly do not mean anything of the sort.
Maybe it's dangerous for a specific type of people if that connection is made.
This is the stock Jewish response, though. They do this all the time.
Yeah, so please, God, don't notice that our ethnicity and our culture are pretty much one.
There's some follow-up questions. Now, I don't know if this guy was allowed follow-up questions. I would have pressed the issue. Just
I'm surprised they let him finish his question. I'm sure there were no follow-up questions to that guy.
Yeah, no, but I mean, here's some examples that I would have given. I would have been like, okay, so Judaism is creedal. How can I become Jewish?
Well, you just have to do go through some rituals. You may have to sacrifice some foreskins and suck some babies.
Okay, so when you say, you had this tweet where you say you're 100% Ashkenazi Jewish, what does that mean? Well, how does that, why is that even important to you? Why does that matter? If you were 0% Ashkenazi Jewish, would you have the same creed?
Would he point to Noam Chomsky's 23andMe and say, look how different we are?
Noam Chomsky's also 100% Ashkenazi.
He would further his argument, it means it doesn't matter because we believe such wildly different things, but we both have the same genetic stock, I guess.
This is the thing.
This is an outward facing point, though. Internally they know they're fighting for the same interest, the same thing.
Well, maybe they don't. I think that but you got to understand the range of debate between Noam Chomsky and Ben Shapiro is not as wide as would be professed, because Noam Chomsky still claims to believe in freedom and democracy. Ben Shapiro claims to believe in freedom and democracy. Mm-hmm. Noam Chomsky supports the existence of the state of Israel. Mm-hmm. Noam Chomsky. He doesn't think Israel should be as an aggressive, expansive state the way it is. He thinks Israel should withdraw to not 1948 borders, 1967 borders. Those, for some reason, are legitimate.
They won a war.
They won a war. So apparently that's okay, taking of territory in war.
Group having an internal debate.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, the Ben
Shapiro. We're along for the ride.
The Ben Shapiro, literally deport the Palestinians to Jordan and give us all the territory, versus the Noam Chomsky, hey, maybe we should be a little bit more moderate in our approach. The other thing they agree on is they will both deny that Israel essentially controls U.S. foreign policy. Right. That's the worst thing that Chomsky does, is that he takes all these progressive leftists. Now, he's going to die soon. He's very old. He's totally senile. But the worst thing he did was years and years, he diverted leftists down this wrong path. Leftists that were opposed to Israel down this wrong path of Israel is a colonial state subject to the U.S. The people that think Israel controls the U.S. are wrong. And that explanation is so nonsensical that it leads him into absurdity trying to defend it. Yeah. But that's really, but yeah, I just think it's not, first of all, they're both ethnically Ashkenazi Jewish, and I just think the differences between them are not as wide as would seem. And look, ethnic groups have internal debates. There's going to be, if you want to represent it by left and right, liberal, conservative, whatever, there's moderates, there's extremists. That's an internal thing. White people have this too. And it's like the liberalism, conservatism debate or free market socialism, this is that debate itself is white. Mm-hmm. So you can't say socialism is for browns and free markets is for whites, which is what some people would like to do that in an effort to try and get conservatives on side with racialism. But that's not really true, because there's a lot of white people that are socialists. Right. But the debate is what's white. The push and pull between those two different tendencies is the white thing. Other people don't even care. These people are still doing subsistence tribal living in Africa.
And the other Jewish influence on our country, other than the foreign policy, is the debate over extending, the resources of whites to the pockets of other groups.
Yeah.
That's a debate that I'm not sure we'll be having that debate. I guess there are some do-gooder whites that would still have this debate absent the Jews.
But
the idea that more and more of these other out-group people should be here to have the debate over is a pretty much.
Well, that's actually innovation that happened soon after the floodgates of immigration were opened.
It's because we let so many of them in.
Well, this is the thing. Actually, one of the things about the immigration wave in the post Civil War up until 1920s. One of the things about it was that the politics started becoming basically the politicians basically started appealing to each little immigrant ethnic group as mm-hmm. such, mm-hmm. and again we talked about the and how they all sort of assimilated in the period from 1924 to 1965, right. And then of course the thing got blown open again, but
they get the doors open,
but yeah,
so if we look at this story now, let's talk about a lot of these insecurities and fears that the Zionists have. I have a story in the Atlantic that's headlined. This is Schwitz and Carbon.
Mm-hmm.
My reference to altered carbon is if you.
Oh, and I've got this other article in the Jerusalem Post. Let's do the Jerusalem Post article first, because it's only like 2 minutes, and we go to this one. So the Jerusalem Post article. Now this is also repeated in a few other sources. This is who's a Jew?
All right, so this is DNA. Of
Rabbinical
the...
courts demand DNA test to prove Judaism report.
Creedal.
Yes, this is creedal
this
Judaism.
Is creedal.
Creedal Judaism. Over the past year, almost 20 couples with at least one spouse from the former Soviet Union were asked to carry a DNA test to prove they were Jewish.
Rock the creedal of Jews.
So this is just rocking the creedal here.
Rock the creedal of Jew.
Couples from the Soviet Union were asked by rabbinical courts to take DNA tests in order to prove their Jewish heritage. An NGO who advocates for Jews within Israeli bureaucratic systems claimed. So I like how, dude, Israel has like... Inside of Israel, the state dedicated to Jews, they have NGOs to like pressure the government because it's not quite dedicated enough to Jews.
Yeah,
they've got like they're like Jewing themselves with. They've got like their own like alphabet soup organizations
they have
in Israel.
They have so much going on to make sure to try to grow their Jewish majority inside the country. Imagine having that anywhere in the West.
I saw a interesting tweet that was a quote from somebody. I can't remember who it was a quote from. I saw a tweet yesterday. And it was related to this conversation, and it was like, the Jews have prospered more than any other people for the longest time on the principle of race alone, which is why they are so against any other people applying the principle. And that's just what it is. And it's the more of a threat that race would be, the more they're against mm-hmm. it they're going to be.
Yeah.
So the blacks, they'll use black racialism, but only because it's gonna be a bludgeon against whites.
Right.
So
I've got grieving parents are turning to posthumous IVF. All right. So in altered carbon, you die. There's a chip in your fucking spine, and that's actually has your entire fucking essence in it, mm-hmm. and you just put it into another body. So here we've got a young Jewish man dies, and then down the road they find a fucking surrogate mother to take his preserved seed.
Mm.
And to have IVF so that the family... So this
is worst version of Jurassic Park I've ever heard.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, they find...
This is altered Judaism?
Yeah, they're like they're finding like the...
altered Yahweh?
Altered Yahweh. That's good, too. They, like, they got the little, like, preserved in amber. There's a little, like... like the happy merchant
that
drawing.
Would be a little merchant in the amber.
So, more than 4 years ago, Liet Malka was... waited anxiously for a sperm sample from a deceased man she had never met to fertilize her solitary egg in a hospital petri dish. The Israeli kindergarten teacher hoped to undergo in vitro fertilization, was disappointed when it first set the egg. Whatever. They go on and on. Like, of course, they have to go through a comical like contracting period because you know the grandparents are going to want to know this man that she's never met, and then they're literally doing this to like
grandparents get, probably want to make sure he's 100% Jewish.
Yeah, they're like they're trying to get the numbers up. They're doing this to keep the numbers up and to keep family bloodlines alive. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine the supremacy and the evil. And these people are straight-up Nazis doing it. George Soros. Right?
That's the thing. Is they talk about white Nazis being obsessed with like racial purity. I've never in my fucking life heard of a white person doing some shit like
no,
this.
That shit is projection. Like when this is something I actually realized. I didn't always get this. But once you kind of see it clearly, you see like there everything they talk about what we care about and the absurdity of this and that mm-hmm. belief, it's literally a projection. Because a lot of times the most amazing things is when Jews accuse you of something you that, never even yeah, thought of
that they think of all the time.
Because it's what they're thinking about constantly. Like they, and first of all, the concept of psychological projection is Jewish, but that's because they're doing it all the time. And that stuff they talk about, racial purity, obsessed with bloodlines, stuff like that. Now, there are some, like, really LARPy guys that talk in those terms. When white people talk in those terms, it does sound, like, LARPy and, like, weird. It doesn't really apply. But Jews talk in those terms, and people don't bat an eye. And and so it is, like, Jews openly say, like, intermarriage is killing us. We need to get our numbers up. We don't have enough people. Yeah. We need more Jewish marriages. And they say, now, first of all, for us to say we need more white marriages and families and children, that's perfectly innocuous. Jews see that as a direct threat. White people don't. That's the other thing. Even liberal white people, they think it's like maybe weird, but they don't think it's like evil. I mean, maybe some of them do. Well, but
we got to go through the language in this thing. Over the past two decades, posthumous reproduction has occurred throughout the world in modest but growing numbers. In this version of assisted reproduction, men donate their genetic material in life or have it extracted. After death, they continue their genetic lineages.
But you can extract it after death?
I guess so. Israel, an exceptionally pro-natalist country with the highest usage... I got to teach you about the mechanics of that!
Extracting it after death?
I don't know. I was just making a jerking off a zombie joke.
I mean, that's where I was going with.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Israel, an exceptionally pro-natalist country with the highest usage of IVF per capita, I think per capita is racist, but never mind, is a thriving laboratory for this novel way of family making.
Of course, and they're never going to...
But it
never,
isn't without conjugal.
Novel? It's fucking it's novel. Weird.
It's weird, but I wouldn't be against it.
No, it's not weird for, like, if you have this, like, sense of urgency that your people's dying, sure, why not?
Look, if you feel like you're up against the genetic wall, it makes sense.
It's also, like, this is the Atlantic. Wouldn't they celebrate the idea of women who don't need no man not having kids because it's bad for the environment or something? And here we are, we're talking about the fucking anxiety. Forget about white
all
fragility.
This is the micro
fucking anxiety of just a single family line disappearing. Right, like the idea that, like, people want to have sons, not daughters, because then that son carries on that family name down to the next generation, and you've done your, you know, like that kind of sentiment, which used to be perfectly common.
Daughters, they want the bloodline, whatever, in whatever.
Well, people still want the name. People talk about. I remember in my
name
youth,
is important.
People talking about the family name continuing.
Oh God, the Greenberg family.
Oh God,
Moishe and.
But think about, like, for us. Like, that used to be a normal sentiment. It's a normal fucking sentiment for anybody in the entire world. And that would be, in the Atlantic, that would be shat upon. And here we are talking about it since it's in Israel.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about, like,
and they
fucking
talk about how they're exceptionally pro-natalist. There's no concerns about overbirth or overpopulation.
No, not at all. There's no
none of that.
No overconsumption. Everything
none
is just like,
coming.
Oh, don't worry. We can
none
conquer more territory and we can fucking plop new people into that new territory. But because the Israeli state regulates and funds IVF, it also determines who has access. Currently, all men up to the age of 45 are eligible for unlimited funds for up to two babies. And for procedures using genetic material from deceased spouses, things get blurry when whatever, that goes on to when you're not a spouse, when it's just like, because they're pairing up randos to do this, is what's happening now. Like, 35-year-old, I guess there's like a Jewish cock carousel too, and this one lady discovered at the age of 35, when a doctor told her that her egg reserve was severely depleted. Again, get a fucking doctor in America to tell a 35-year-old woman that your eggs are, it's like, no, it's like, keep going, you're funny, you can, yeah, baby, when you're 45.
It doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it.
It doesn't matter. That's what they say, right? If they say anything
fine.
At all.
You're fine. Meanwhile, go on that birth control from your age 12. That won't fuck you up in your 20s when you actually want to have children, should you be a sane person that wants to have a child in your 20s. So anyway, it goes on here, and it keeps going. It talks about her little, oh God, Rosenblum, the founder of New Family. So it goes on to talk about, I've got to find it. They talk about the Jewish population, they lament, like, They have anxiety about their majority.
Well, I was going to say that they talk about Israel being an extraordinarily pro-natalist country.
Yes.
And another thing we're often told is, as people become more affluent and shall we say, middle class, their birth rates go down.
Yes.
And they talk about also this is correlated with affluence and with secularism, with not being religious and with being more wealthy. Birth rates go down. So middle class, non-religious family, upper middle class, non-religious family, white family would have like one or two kids. In Israel, they'll have three kids. Israel, the affluent, non-religious middle class is above replacement rate. It's the only place on earth where that's the case. Everywhere else, that population cohort is below replacement rate. So the issue is, and everyone's like, there have been people that have like looked at this like, we can't figure out why. And I'm like, I'll fucking tell you why. It's so easy. It's because Israel is a pro-natalist country. It's a pro-natalist society. It's a society that is sees itself as expanding, as growing, with a strong sense of identity and purpose. And that's exactly the opposite of all white countries. White people don't see themselves as part of an expanding, growing population or culture or civilization or group or nation. They see themselves as, I mean, there's graphs about ethnocentric feeling, particularly amongst liberals. It's literally negative. They have negative feelings about their own groups vis-a-vis other groups. At least that's what they'll express publicly. Conservatives tend to have positive feelings about their own group and negative feelings about other groups, but like they're falling victim to this. Like, once you get to have too much money, you don't want to have kids, etc. So it's and also conservatives feel a lot of, well, I don't like using, you know, a lot of white people just feel this, white people that would be conservatives, they feel despair. Like, they feel like this, like we talked about on the show last week, they feel like this place isn't going anywhere. This country's not going anywhere. Where are we going? What are we doing here? What do we do? What are we doing here? Yeah. Right? Like, because it's like, what are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? In Israel, they know what they're doing. They're expanding their state. They're expanding their power, their territory, their reach across the whole culture, across the whole country, across the whole globe of their ethnic group is expanding. So, of course, you know, in Israel, women get unlimited state funds to have a bunch of kids. I mean, if we were smart, I mean, a smart country in the West could do that. Start subsidizing birth. I mean, birth is like anti-subsidized. It's desubsidized.
Yeah. It's extremely expensive.
The National Socialists
if you're deemed a person that can pay, like, it's extremely expensive to have a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free if you're of whatever. Well,
they are subsidizing births if you're brown.
If you're brown, yeah.
They're not subsidizing births if you're white. And they're anti-subsidized. Now, the National Socialists understood this. They subsidized births. You would get a medal if you had four children. If you were a woman that had four children, you got a special medal.
I had a funny idea about the health system.
Yeah.
What if white people just stopped paying? Like, put aside your goyish sense of you know, that you has a contractual obligation to pay back the hospital. Go have procedures done and don't pay the bill.
Well, I think
because I mean that's what the brown people generally do. They can't. I mean, what are they going to do?
The government then reimburses them to a certain extent.
But still, it's like, why we keep paying?
Yeah.
Why pay? Well, the system incentivizes not paying. So are they going to, just going to go after white people that don't pay? You can't put it on your credit report, I don't think.
Well, the system is kept afloat by white people playing by the rules.
Yeah.
Basically. Stop.
Cancel your insurance and go to the hospital and don't pay.
Which is sort of a funny thing because that's a definite crash and burn scenario eventually, which is that.
That's what has to happen in this.
Now, people always
I didn't mean
say,
to get off on that, though. There's a lot more still to do in this story. Right,
there's a lot
more
to do in this. But the last comment on that is that people always talk about the debt and financial matters are going to crash the country.
It's fake.
That's not true. What's going to crash the country is going to be the decline of the white demographic.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what's going to kill the country. Once if these plans continue and the white population continues to fall, that's what will destroy the country. Nothing else. It's not going to be debt. It's not going to... None of that. Anyway, good.
All right. So. There it is. Okay.
What do you got?
I've got just a particular... This is just like a good problem to have, right? This is a fun problem to have as a nation. This is what really, like... I was, like, considering, like, probably we don't need to do this story on the show, but this paragraph just, like, blew me away. As a semi-official state policy... All right, semi... Israel has encouraged Jewish residents to have children with the goal of sustaining a Jewish majority, and more recently, to counter the higher fertility rates of Palestinians in the occupied territories. Well, hold up. This sentence made me want to, like, vomit, scream, cry. So many emotions at once from this sentence right here. After the 1967 war in which Israel conquered East Jerusalem, the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, bringing 1 million more Palestinians under Israeli rule, the Israeli Demographic Center was established to increase Jewish birth rates, a mission the government described as essential to the survival of the Jewish people. So
they
basically,
have a demographic center.
They're complaining that they conquered territory and that the pieces of shit that were on it are under their umbrella now, and they factor into their demographic calculation. Can you...
this is why they have the word chutzpah.
You must be new to.
Do we have a demographic center?
No, but I mean, they get, there it is in plain.
No. But I'm saying like
this isn't even like Haaretz. This is the Atlantic.
No, I know. Well, that's interesting that it's in the Atlantic. But again, the Atlantic is who's.
I know,
who's
but still, like
that,
this is like smart liberals are sitting there like, is this ever going to trigger their sensibility about like?
No,
ooh.
It won't, because this is the thing. I have. I've been involved. I've been interested in Israel politics for 20 or 30 years now. Not 30. That's silly. 20 years. 20 years.
Sure. You can feign out. You can feign outrage here, though. This is a disgusting statement.
It's outrageous, but the thing is, I knew about this 20 years ago.
Yeah, fine.
20 years ago, I knew about this, and 20 years ago, I was trying to get liberals, which I was at the time, to care, and they don't care.
All right, now we're just trying to trigger white nationalists, though.
Care.
So like, we have to.
But like, dude, white nationalists are going to be like, bro, we knew.
Oh, stop it.
I'm sorry.
Don't play that calm and collective. I'm above this crap.
I'm not above
That's
it.
That's an outrageous
no,
fucking
no, no,
statement.
No, what I'm saying, I'm not above
and
it.
And to see it presented like this, it's disgusting.
It is outrageous, but my point is that I've just seen this. I've known about this for a very long time, so my fire is not burning as hot as yours. It is. You are correct that it's outrageous, and it is funny that, you know, they have a demographic center. Look, if you've been following this, like, this is...
I know,
I've been following Israel for 20 years.
They would prefer to just genocide
like
them, right?
They have been talking like this. I mean, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Well, here's the question, Ben. It's criminal. It's not. Why are you talking about why are you talking about literally in Nazi-like fashion deporting all the Palestinians to Jordan? He wrote an article saying let's deport the Palestinians on the West Bank to Jordan and deport the Palestinians in Gaza to Egypt. That's where they really belong anyway. Those are their countries. And then we'll have a clear border around Israel, and there we go. He's written articles about that. That was like witty. That's how he like broke onto the scene, was by being outrageous like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a mainstream debate in Israel. Yeah. That's another thing I want you to know. That's literally the internal debate in Israel is: should we deport the Palestinians or should we slowly like just assimilate the territory?
And God damn it! Why can't we just slaughter them anymore? We used to be able to just slaughter them.
That's the problem.
That's
they're
the
up
problem.
Against now
it used to be like you move into Golan Heights and you just everybody just dies, and now it's.
But they did. I mean, Deir Yassin, which was this famous massacre in the 1948 war, where they killed them all, and they did that because they didn't think anyone was looking.
Yeah. But apparently someone was looking.
No, but they couldn't do that everywhere because everyone was looking. Yeah. And everyone was like, wait, weren't you people just complaining about being genocided?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Now look at you. What are you doing?
Imagine if somebody had second thoughts in 1948. We could have just like headed off this entire fucking mistake.
Yes. What's going on, big guy?
What's going on, big guys? What's going on, big nose?
That was like the USS Liberty.
Come on. What's going on, big nose?
What's going on, big nose? USS Liberty is like...
That better be the notes, Alex. What's going on, big nose?
What's going on, big nose? What are you doing?
Oh, by the way, I know... By the way, I know this
genocide in the population.
I know you're interested in this here. Sperm remain viable 24 to 36 hours after death, and in rare conditions, doctors say can remain active for as long as 72 hours.
Yeah, but how do they get it out? Just go in and cut the balls open or something?
I guess they
just put a ficus underneath the patient.
I hate to be morbid, but can you like...
Oh, God. Kept alive artificially. Doctors can use electric shock to stimulate ejaculation.
I was going
to
say, dude...
Can they just use
that? Was
why did you just gotta do this weird shit? Can they just use like a syringe?
I am sorry, but I was about to say.
They may also remove the entire testes and then the sperm.
I was about to
say. Or freeze everything for later extraction. Oh, I'm just gonna cut your balls off and freeze them.
Are you not weirded out yet by this? I think this
is weird.
I'm just weirded out by
this shit.
I'm weirded out, but I was about to say, don't tell me there's a way that they make the muscles contract in the dead body to shoot the jizz amount.
It's fucking shock your prostate.
The Jewish Internet Social Media
the
Society.
The jism comes out. Jisms. The jisms.
We have a new monitoring group.
The
Jewish Internet Social Media Society. Jisms.
Jisms. The jisms are frozen for later use. But think about this. Like, here's the people that are going to these lengths. They're doing this to impregnate... single ladies.
They're literally jerking off zombies.
They're jerking off dead soldiers.
They're jerking off dead bodies.
In one case here, a cancer victim keeping the sperm until like a Jewish cat lady decides it's time to like reproduce for whatever reason. And this is all to counter like the troublesome growing numbers of their conquered like second class citizens in their nations that are directly the result of expanding your borders. Like, these fucking people, if you know, they wouldn't have to count them if you just stayed in your lane where you were put.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, just to be clear,
imagine
what's
imagine talking about it in America. In America, it's like, oh, the Browning of America doesn't. Ben has said that. The Browning of America doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter. This is about ideas. It's
right. And he can stay. He can maintain that facade of consistency mm-hmm. as long as Judaism is creedal, too. And they're like, well, the Palestinians don't accept the creed.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
So we have to decide, Ben. So is our creed to deport them or
Ben.
Slaughter them?
Okay, Ben. How about this? What about the Palestinians want to convert to Judaism? What happens then? Can they do it? It's creedal. Can they convert to your creed, right? It's just about ideas. It's about ideas. Then any person can adopt those ideas, right?
It'll probably work out as well as all those Jews who converted to Catholicism.
Right. No, but I mean, that's not the point. My point is, like, what would Ben say to that? If you want to know how bullshit that excuse that he makes is, ask him, can the Palestinians just convert to Judaism and then you'll stop killing them? No. They can't convert to Judaism. He would say they don't want to. But the point is this.
That's a ridiculous question. Why would they ever do that?
Who can become a Jew that's not... I want to be... Well, no, I'm not...
Whoa.
I am not going to say easy. That because that's going to be isolated. What if somebody said that they wanted to become a Jew and they weren't? How would you answer that, Ben? Would you allow it? Could it be allowed?
And then he Does would ben say... like Luke Ford?
He would say... And then the other piece of the pill he would say... Certainly somebody can convert to Judaism. I think it would be fine. But ultimately it's up to these rabbis. Well, what are the rabbis going to say? What, like, in reality are the rabbis going to say? You can always deflect that shit. That's the thing. Like, Jews have this whole system of deflecting this in place. And it's like, it's so maddening because it's like, Ben, you and I both know what the fuck is going on. And the thing is, he knows that guy that asked that question knows what the fuck is going on. There was all kinds of markers in that question that indicate that he knows what he's going on. So he's not even talking to that guy. He's making sure that guy's little fucking trap that he set doesn't make any little light bulbs go off in anybody else's head. Right.
No, it's creedal.
Historically, eventually societies decide to make these Jews go play their little Jew game somewhere else.
Yes. And the reason that they were kicked out of so many places is because they were always an identifiable group because of their creed. The creed is part of it. Now look, there's the thing is, there is a creed to Judaism, but it's also a tribe. All of these things, it's like him. Also, what a lie drawing that direct distinction between like creed and race, you know, or tribe, creed. Like, these things are all connected. Like the Jews have a different set of beliefs and a different creed and a different way of operating, but they do that. That's based in who they are, like how white people operate is based in who we are. Same with blacks, and same with like all other groups and races that are identifiable. The cultures are an outgrowth of how the people are. So this firm wall of separation you want to draw between creed and race is not so firm as you would like to believe or you would like to pretend. Now you're a Jew, so I don't believe you believe it for a second, no. But. You want us
this
to
convenient.
It. Yeah.
As we can see from his own tweets and the other things he said that he has a very strong pride.
Jews,
in his ethnic,
Jews yeah. always betray super, super ethnic pride when yeah. like, you know, but of course, you know, that's
just
allowed.
That you can't, you know, that guy's not right there on Twitter to pull those tweets up to yeah. throw him in his face. And there's going to be no follow up questions. So the chance that he's going to call out for that is zero. No one's going to call him out for it on TV, especially being in conservative English.
What you got to do.
Like no conservative's ever going to like trap him on that.
No.
Yeah, I mean that was the closest it ever came.
That was the closer. What you got to do is like the guy. See, and look, the guy did a great job. Very good question.
No, he did great.
But
yeah.
like, you package a few more things in. Front load it. Front load the question with more stuff, like the DNA stuff, and the rabbi is talking about DNA tests to determine Jewishness
yeah.
and stuff like that. You know, put that in there because that's that's good stuff. That's going to really keep him off on his toes.
Mm. All right, guys. I think we've done.
It was funny with Ben. With Ben, the sport is like, how's he going to get himself out of this one? Rather than like, hey, is he going to make an interesting point that matters about something? It's like, no, how's he going to? What pill pull is he going to do now?
It's like some kind of like it's like an episode of MacGyver.
Well, dude,
it's like with just a piece of bubble gum and a paper clip. How can Ben get out of this?
Where pill pull comes from?
I don't remember though.
Pill pull comes from pill pull is a word for in the temple the argument style of two different sides of basically two different Jews. Basically trying to argue their way around through the law to say that what the thing that they already wanted to do was allowed by the law.
Yeah.
This is called pill pull. And one guy goes against and one guy goes for. They have an argument and like basically whoever is cleverest wins. The rabbis don't judge on principle or law or value or morals. It's like, which one of you guys is clever? So literally, if you come up with an interesting, clever little twist, that's good. We like that. We'll go with that. I like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's Pilpul. It's literally like literally contests in. I mean, like, you could, yeah. Socrates talked about this, but it's like that times 10. Like, it's even worse than that. I mean, because Socrates was just talking about guys that like blew smoke up your ass for like their own better. Like, he's like, oh, there's gonna be some of these politicians that come out and just blow smoke up your ass for their own, for their own betterment, and they're just fucking full of shit. Pilpul's like more sinister than that, because they're like subverting the law. They're subverting every law of just for like some little thing that they want to do. It's not even like a political gain. Like, he was saying,
so they can cheat their god, which is the
worst. Yeah, we want to turn the lights on.
It's not even cheating there. It's like it's more fundamental than that, because then it becomes part of the tradition. That particular way of cheating
becomes part of the tradition.
Like, if there's like a blowhard politician that promises you, you know, like, Pedro, all your dreams will come true. Like, whatever. That's just a fucking blowhard politician. Who cares, right? Doesn't matter. These guys are like, it's more insidious than that. But, yeah.
All right. I think that's a week.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some bench presses.
I guess we have to do that,
Some bench presses.
I guess we have to do that.
Huge.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully going to have a really cool shirt under my freshly bench pressed chest, or over my freshly bench chest on Monday. I'm really excited about this shirt. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you get a paywall account. Oh, wait, this is the paywall show. There's no use to show up for it.
There's no point in show. That's the thing that sucks about paywall shows. Chilling. You can't even show.
You can't even show. What? Why?
Sign your parents up for a paywall account. Get their credit card.
Why live without shilling?
There you go.
Actually, happy birthday to the guy I know who got a paywall account for his birthday today.
Also, thanks to, what's this guy want me to call him? John Connor. Thank you for your gift, your generous gift.
Thanks to Larry Ridgway for the record album of what I can only think is some kind of aughts emo music.
Yeah.
At least it's not rap, though. Thought he was going to say
that. That's his name, right? John Connor. Was that his name?
John Connor, yeah, from Terminator?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Larry Ridgway.
I'm looking for Sarah Connor.
I'm going to spin this. This is a new thing. I'm scared.
It looks kind of
brand new. The devil and God are raging inside me.
Okay. Kind of weird.
Brand new is about
weird
13
flex,
years old.
But okay.
They're both raging inside me. I can feel that.
Okay. I think it's just the devil and me. That's okay.
Just that's nice. The volcano demon is raging inside you.
No. Lucifer was the good guy.
Wow. All right. Black Metal Mike.
Yeah.
Call him Black Metal Mike from now on. All right, so I guess that's it. I'm going to turn on the mixing, and we're going to be... Now you're mixing with Nixon. See you next week.
Always give your best. Never discourage. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then... You destroy yourself.